Interrupt your program for a special presentation of live play-by-play action on The Ump. This is Bob Jones Football, exclusively on The Ump. Welcome to the Bob Jones Football pregame show.
Are you ready for some football?
High school.
Football!
High school. Yeah!
Now your host, Arky Shea.
Welcome into the Bob Jones pregame show.
Hey, Mike, cut that. Welcome back in, ladies and gentlemen. We are in Madison City School Stadium, home of the Bob Jones Patriots. So glad to have you guys aboard for this matchup of the Bob Jones Patriots taking on the Buckhorn Bucks. That's right, it's Region 4 matchup, the final one of the season between Bob Jones and Buckhorn. And a whole lot of playoff implications are on the line, a whole lot of complicated scenarios, which we will get to you throughout tonight's broadcast. But none of them become anything but moot unless Bob Jones gets the win here tonight. Hello again, everybody. My name is Arky Shea. I'll be joined shortly by my broadcast partner, Seth Hagan, as we get set for what is the last, not only region game of the season, it's the last home game of the season, it's the last game of the season, as Bob Jones will have an off week next week to get ready for the playoffs, which they clinched by virtue of beating Grissom last week, as they get ready for their eighth consecutive appearance in the playoffs under head coach Kevin Rose. Now, this will be the first time Bob Jones will not be the one seed or the two seed by region championship standards, but Bob Jones can still clinch and still get to that number two seed based on results the next 2 weeks. Now, Buckhorn coming into tonight, there is no playoff implications for them. They got beat by James Clemens last week and Buckhorn, by the way, in New Market, Alabama. And they were stopped late inside the five-yard line by James Clemens' staunch defense. And for Bob Jones, they're playing for the playoffs, and for seeding for Buckhorn, it's for pride. And it's a chance to play spoiler. And that's the big news of the night for the Buckhorn Bucks. They have a chance to play spoiler, and they are a very, very, very good football team. Do not let them being out of the playoffs discourage you from thinking that they aren't a very steady team. Buckhorn coming into tonight, coming off that game against James Clemens, where they were oh so close to getting a comeback victory, or at least tie at the end of that game, is a team that really needs to be reckoned with, because last week they held James Clemens to 21 points. And James Clemens had been red hot offensively and defensively, scoring the ball on the defensive side. They were able to score 54 against Grissom. They scored 42 against May Jemison and held Hewitt Trustful to their second lowest outing, 34 points earlier this season, although that was in a loss. So Buckhorn, a very staunch defense, and we're going to also see a whole lot of number 24 and a whole lot of number 28. That's Matthew Evans and Dallin Woodley. Those are the running backs. Buckhorn is a run-heavy offense. They have always been, ever since I've known about them and went to high school there in the early to mid-2000s. They have not changed much. What they do have is some better athletes, including number one, Will Ignatz, who is a senior this year, a four-star, highly touted running back at one point. He has now turned into a full-time middle linebacker, and he is going to be a stud to watch tonight. Bob Jones and Buckhorn is just 25 minutes away from kickoff here on senior night. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. Coach Kevin Rose will join us as we talk Bob Jones and Buckhorn. And you're listening to the Bob Jones pregame show brought to you by Keller Williams Realty, Evan and McDaniel Realty Group, Stephen McDaniel. Check out the website homefinderhuntsville.com. If you're in the market, maybe you want to list your own home. Maybe you just want to ask Stephen McDaniel a question. Easy. Go to the Facebook page, McDaniel Realty Group, and to the website, homefinderhuntsville.com. We'll come back. Coach Kevin Rose coming up next on the Bob Jones pregame show. You're listening to the Bob Jones Patriots exclusively on The Ump.
Now back to Bob Jones football on The Ump.
Welcome back into the Bob Jones pregame show, brought to you by Keller Williams Realty and Stephen McDaniel. Now joined by the head coach of the Bob Jones Patriots. He is Coach Kevin Rose, fresh off a big victory last weekend against Grissom's. Got to make you feel a lot better, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and it does, you know, to go out and get a win and, you know, get a bunch of kids in a football game, you know, just puts you in a little bit of a better mood this week. And good week of preparation for Buckhorn.
It is. We'll get to the Buckhorn game in just a minute, but to be able to go out and get that region victory, and to also, you know, we talked about Grissom going into the game and how they can be sort of stingy if you let them stay in the game. It had to be good to see the guys sort of go out there, take that game seriously, and sort of take advantage at the very onset of the game.
Well, it was, and, you know, I think we were up 48-0 at the half, so we were allowed, you know, able to play our reserves the entire second half, you know, and those guys typically don't get to play, so, you know, some good game experience for them as they'll go into next year and got to, you know, keep our starters out and hopefully keep most of those guys healthy.
What can you take from a game like that that ended up being such a blowout early on? What can you use going forward to this week?
You know, I think the number one thing you take from is just giving those kids an opportunity to play that typically don't get an opportunity to play, and hopefully get them some game experience so that, you know, if they had to go in and contribute this week or even going into next year, at least, you know, that first time they go out there as a starter is not the first time they've run out there.
Now, we got a big game coming up tonight against Buckhorn, a team that is a region foe that's hungry for a big victory, and it wouldn't hurt to get one against Bob Jones tonight. This is a team that battled hard with James Clemens just last Friday night. In fact, needed a late stop by James Clemens to not tie that game up. Buckhorn's a team that will run right at you and run a lot. What kind of challenges does Buckhorn present for you?
Well, a real challenge. They've got a really good football team. They've improved every week. I think they're going to have 18 starters back going into next year. I look for them to contend for the region championship next year. You know, they got a new coach in John Holliday who, you know, I've coached against for years. Matter of fact, John was the head coach at Hamilton in 1999. I was offensive coordinator at Destron. We beat him 31-28 in the semifinals to go into the state championship game. So he does an outstanding job and has done a good job with this group. And obviously, you know, we have done a poor job of stopping the run, you know, against Hewitt Trussell and Gadsden City, and I'm sure Buckhorn's going to come right at us. And until we prove we can stop the run, you know, we're going to get a heavy dose of that.
What have you sort of learned the last couple of weeks and going into Grissom and coming into this week to sort of try to curb some of those gashing runs that you've seen?
Well, you know, we've got to attack downhill. You know, we've got to get linebackers that are playing downhill and being aggressive. And, again, if we're gonna miss a tackle, we need to miss it on their side of the line of scrimmage, you know. And we've just got to do a better job of being more physical and getting off of blocks and getting more people to the football. I mean, it's a total team issue. It's not one man, it's not one guy, it's not one player. And offensively, we've got to help our defense. I mean, we can't just take the approach of, hey, we've scored a bunch of points. Well, big deal. You know, we still got beat those two games. We've got to rush the football and keep our defense off the field and, you know, get the lead in the ball and then rush the football and control the game.
That was one of the sort of moments at the end of the Gadsden City game. You could tell that you're sort of taking the air out of the ball a little bit, sort of being a little more methodical with the clock to try to get that last score going in to try to beat Gadsden City. Is that the sort of type of approach that sort of you and Coach Patterson are starting to adjust to if it need be to try to protect that defense if it's needed?
Well, absolutely, but we need to get the lead first. You know, it's been an
issue. Can't protect the lead without a lead.
Right. In both of those games, you know, we didn't have the lead and the ball in the second half. You know, you got to have the lead and the ball to run the clock. So we'd like to have the lead and the ball and then be able to successfully rush the football and drive the length of the field and score on a 10-play drive that eats up 4 or 5 minutes instead of just a one-play, big-play type deal.
Now, this game is obviously very important for pride. You obviously want to go into the playoffs with a winning mindset. Did your mindset at all change knowing that this is, for all intents and purposes, you're trying to maybe hopefully get some seeding with this, with the win here?
Well, I mean, I think it's probably the tipping point of our season. I mean, you're either going to be the 2 seed or you're going to be the 4 seed. You know, we have an opportunity to be the 2 seed if we win and get some help from some other people. You know, and obviously playing at home, playing against the 3 seed out of that region, even though it's still going to be a really good football team, you know, otherwise you're going to end up the 4 seed and you're going to go to Hoover, you know, the first round, who's, you know, playing lights out, you know. So I think it's very important if we could host a home playoff game, you know, that would give us the best chance of advancing. So, you know, we need a win Friday night.
Where is this team mentally right now as compared to where it was when it was at right after the sort of James Clemens dormant start and now after the Austin loss where you went on a winning streak, a couple of losses, now sort of getting your feet back under you? Where's this team mentally now compared to then?
That's a great question, you know, and that's I guess that's why coaching is such an interesting profession and why athletics, you know, create so much interest on Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, because you don't ever know. You know, you got to have faith without having any evidence. Right now, you know, I got to have faith that we can stop the run Friday night, but I certainly don't have any video evidence of that, you know, against the last two quality opponents we played. So, you know, this football team, you know, as far as this season and the legacy they leave, you know, a lot of it's going to be decided this Friday night against Buckhorn. And, you know, they're going to have to answer the challenge, and they're going to have to go out there and get some stops. And like I said, it goes three areas to me. Number one, we got to stop the run. Number two, we got to rush the football. And number three, we got to win the turnover battle. If we do those three things, we'll have a chance to win.
Can you tell where your team is at mentally Friday when you're in the locker room before you go out?
Sometimes you think you can, you know. Sometimes you know, you can tell, or you feel like they're extremely focused. Other times you may feel like that they're not focused, that they're off task or talking about things that aren't football related. But, you know, Pat Dye used to say, and I always thought he hit the nail on the head, you can really only get them up two or three times a year. You know, they're only going to be at a James Clemens level two or three times a season, you know. You're not going to get that unbelievable, energetic, passionate, you know, intense performance every time out. You're not going to get that. Hopefully, you know, we can get a good performance Friday night, though. And I told them I think this game will be very similar to the James Clemens game. I mean, it's going to be a smash mouth. You know, they're going to come right at us. They're very good on defense inside the hashes in the run game. You know, it's going to be a very physical football game.
Have you talked about this week with the defense? Have you been able to chance to sit them and see if they feel like they're up for that challenge? If they feel like they're embracing how they know Buckhorn's going to come right at their throat the entire game?
Well, we had a very intense practice on Tuesday. Really got after it in the team portion of practice. You know, I definitely think our defense, you know, knows that, you know, their backs are against the wall and it's time to stand up and, you know, make a better accounting of yourself.
Is there something mentally that may be able to be of use, knowing that this is the last game of the regular season, that there will be an off week before you go to the playoffs, that they know they can go out and leave it all on the line and there's not something else that's behind it right immediately?
Well, I hope so, and that's certainly a selling point I'll use to them, you know, tonight. You know, they can lay it on the line, and you can get banged or dinged or bruised tonight, and you're going to have, you know, 2 weeks before you play again, you know. And that's why, you know, we chose to do it this way. We felt like going into the playoffs, you wanted to give your team an opportunity to be 100% healthy. You know, people don't play very well, don't play very hard, and aren't very physical, you know, when they got a knee or a shoulder or a chest or, you know, some kind of injury going into the game. So, you know, we can sell out Friday night to beat Buckhorn, and then we got, you know, a full week, you know, to recover and get them back, you know, get them back healthy. So hopefully that plays in our favor.
Well, Coach, best of luck. Hopefully we're talking again next week about getting ready for the playoffs. And we'll talk about hopefully where we'll be going or if we'll be hosting. And hopefully we'll come back with a W against Buckhorn. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Arky.
Now, let's join the booth live with Arky Shea and Seth Hagan.
Bring you back live to Madison City School Stadium. It's home of the Bob Jones Patriots tonight, where it is senior night and senior band members are being honored right now. Bob Jones football players and cheerleaders were honored before. And hopefully Bob Jones will honor the rest of all of them and you and I with a victory tonight against the Buckhorn Bucks. Tonight, Region 4 matchup is going to be a big one. It goes a long way for the Patriots as far as deciding where they go week one of the playoffs in 2 weeks. My name is Arky Shea, Seth Hagan there. And Seth, this is a big game for Bob Jones because nothing good can happen as far as moving up in top, possibly outside chance, but possibly hosting, unless they start with a victory tonight.
Yeah, tonight is the time to really lock it down and to work on your team. You have to stay focused, because at the end of the day, across from us is a very, very good team, a solid team, a team that has held a lot of our common opponents to lower scores than we have. And if we cannot sleep on them at the end of the day, because true, they are not in the playoffs, but I think that makes them even more dangerous. They'll be playing free tonight. They'll be playing for fun. And a team with nothing to lose is a dangerous team indeed.
It's a team with nothing to lose, pride on the line, and they can play spoiler for Bob Jones. The Patriots are in the playoffs regardless, but it's whether or not they are traveling on the road to somewhere like Hoover next week or possibly being able to host 2 weeks from tonight. So it's a big-time matchup. Bob Jones looking to stay on the winning track after beating Grissom last week. Baltimore would like to end their regular season region matchups because they still have one with North Jackson next week with a win here tonight and over a red-letter game. Coach Rose talks about a red-letter game, which Bob Jones has become over the last decade here in Madison. Going to take a timeout. The Bob Jones pregame show brought to you by McDaniel Realty Group of Keller Williams Realty. If you check out their Facebook page right now, you can answer. We can see any question that anyone has asked Stephen McDaniel of the McDaniel Realty Group about anything real estate, or ask your own questions on Facebook. Search for McDaniel Realty Group. We'll be back. We'll get you set with lineups and the kickoff coming up next. You're listening to Bob Jones pregame show exclusively on The Ump.
Back to the booth we go with Arky Shea and Seth Hagan. Bob Jones football is on The Ump.
Back live here in Madison City Stadium in Madison, Alabama, as the matchup is a 7A region 4-1 between the Bob Jones Patriots and the Buckhorn Bucks. We just had the opening coin toss, and for just the second time this year, Bob Jones has lost the toss, and Buckhorn will receive to start the game. Seth, this is a very important game for both these teams. For Buckhorn, they're looking for momentum and to play spoiler. Bob Jones, we talked about, there is playoff implications on the line, but they have to start by winning, and they got to start by stopping the run.
Absolutely. You control what you can control. Bob Jones wins tonight. We already know they're locked up in the playoffs, but just getting a couple more spots ahead would be huge for this team, and the Patriots could really use it. You got to go back to last year. You remember starting the season off winning 9 games in a row and losing that final game to Austin. And that, you can't say that did not affect the team heading into the playoffs the very next week, losing to Vestavia. And this is not something that this senior class in particular, and certainly not the Patriots, they don't want a repeat performance.
It is senior night here in Madison for the Bob Jones Patriots, and that is something the Patriots would like to go off on a winning note, and as well going into the playoffs. This is a bit of a different team for Bob Jones and for Kevin Rose. The first time under Kevin Rose's tenure that Bob Jones has lost 3 regular season games. They're hoping to make that the stopgap and be the last time that they lose for the rest of the season. Obviously, a win against Buckhorn would go huge in a lot of different ways. The formations basically for the playoffs look like this. If Bob Jones wins, Gadsden City wins, which is against Huntsville tonight, which is a likely scenario, or at least a very possible one. And James Clemens loses to Hewitt Trustful tonight for the region championship, which is also very possible. Then you have a 3-way tie going for that final spot, and the only team that plays out of those 3 next week is James Clemens and Bob Jones. If they get to see Austin beat James Clemens next week, Then it goes to total wins versus defeated opponents, and Bob Jones could hold the lead at that point and get the number 2 seed overall. So there is a lot to be decided still tonight. Gadsden City Huntsville tonight. Bob Jones here against Buckhorn in the big matchup. Hewitt Trustful hosting James Clemens for the region championship down in Hewitt near the Birmingham area. We're getting set for kick. Bob Jones go from our left to our right. You're on the radio dial. Cannot wait. It is a beautiful, and I do mean it when I say beautiful, night for football here in Madison. Believe it or not, it's 59 degrees at kick.
Thank you, Lord.
It is the first time it has been under 65 degrees, actually under 69 degrees this entire season for a kickoff. And in fact, only just the second time it's been under 75 degrees this entire season for a kickoff, and it happens in the final game for Bob Jones. Ian Karaski on for the kickoff. He sends this one deep near side. It is taken at the 11-yard line and go to the 20, the 25, the 30. Their space near side is all day open for Buckhorn to the 40, the 35, the 30. Finally brought down to the 25-yard line of return from number 19, Jalen Dixon. goes all the way to the 25-yard line of Bob Jones, and not a way you would want to start this one with a 59-yard return.
A direct opposite result of what happened last week with them against James Clemens. James Clemens ran the ball down to their 6-yard line to start this game. Big play there by Jaden Hill. Took a great angle to cut off that run. That was a touchdown saving tackle.
Buckhorn comes out in the shotgun formation. Quick handoff goes up to the middle to the 21, to the 29, to the 19. The first play of the game for the Buckhorn Bucks is a carry for the team, all clad in top white jersey, blue pants, blue numerals encased in gold. That is number 28. We told you you heard a lot about Daylon Woodley, the senior running back, and there is his first carry, good for 6 yards. Just inside the 20, the Bucks go shotgun formation. Quick handoff again goes up to the middle to the 16, now to the 15, another 5-yard gain, maybe 4, as it'll be close to the first down marker, which is just outside the 15. Looks like it will be just short, 3rd and inches, as the Bucks get set to go no huddle here. You'll see a lot of running, the vast majority of running you will see, as the quarterback Jackson Holiday, also a senior, coach's son, sets up with his team with 2 receivers to the right, 1 tailback, 1 fullback on the right end of the line.
It's true that Buckhorn will test our defensive line in this one, but don't underestimate Jackson Holiday. He's a kid that can definitely light up the scoreboard.
Holiday, quick handoff up the middle. He's stuffed. He is stuffed in the middle by number 90, Gavin Lewis. Bob Jones needs a lot of number 90 tonight. Tackles for loss and at least tackles at the line of scrimmage would be a huge help tonight. That's a loss of 2. It'll make it 4th down and 3.
He's our leader in tackles for loss this year, and a guy that we're really looking forward to seeing in his senior year in 2017. Gavin Lewis needs to be in the backfield early and often against this strong front from Buckhorn.
4th down and 3, 4 receivers set, 3 to the right, 1 to the left. Looks like Bob Jones jumped off sides.
And that was actually Mac Reagan. Mac Reagan is playing a defensive tackle right now.
Well, something they experimented with this week. Mac Reagan, who is 6'3", 305. Gets a little antsy there, and it is a 1st down for Buckhorn. So Buckhorn will get inside the 15 to the 13-yard line. It'll be a 1st down for them. They'll put 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, and 1 tailback, who is Matthew Evans, the 5'8 junior. Holiday in the shotgun. To the left is Evans. Pump fakes, looks near side, back corner of the end zone. Looking, it is deflected. Good play defensively by the Patriots. One-on-one coverage situation in the back corner of the near end zone, but that's a no-fly zone once you get that deep in the red zone against number 22, Jaden Hill.
Yeah, Jaden Hill did a great job of finding that ball midair, positioned himself perfectly there in the corner to knock that ball away.
2nd down and 10 as the Bucks get their first pass attempt of the game. Evans comes wide side to the left, actually come to the slot to the left side. 2 receivers to the right, actually 3, including the big fullback, number 42, Trey Russell. Bring Evans in motion back into the backfield. Now Russell comes in motion, near side to block. Here comes the handoff, up the middle, 10, 5, touchdown, untouched. Untouched goes Matthew Evans for 13 yards. Got Bob Jones all out of position, and that is great coaching by John Halliday, the first-year coach at Buckhorn, to be able to take advantage of a mismatch and really put Bob Jones out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, the Bucks have a lot of guys with multiple skill sets. Matthew Evans and Daylon Woodley, 2 guys that run in the backfield, but can also catch passes and play the wide receiver role. So Patriots are going to have to be very disciplined tonight in the run game. It's going to be a challenge because that's the area which they've struggled in the most in the second half of the season.
Extra point up, and extra point is good for the Buckhorn Bucks. Going to take a timeout. Bob Jones trails 7-0, but they'll get their first possession of the game coming up next. 10:14 on the clock. Bob Jones 0, Buckhorn 7. You're listening to Bob Jones Football exclusively on the Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to live coverage of Bob Jones Football on the Ump.
Bring you back live here to the beautiful city of Madison, Alabama. 69 degrees at kickoff, and it feels like football weather in week 10 of the football season. Buckhorn getting set to kick from there on 40, going right to left. This kick is a squib kick, and kick near side. Ball is on the ground. Ball's on the ground. It was touched by a Patriot. Buckhorn says they have it, and they do. And they do.
The ball came off Jay Sean Hawley right there. He just was not ready. Hands on the head. You can tell he's very, very frustrated about that. He knows that he should have been in position for that. Ball caught right off the back of his heel and bounced right back into the Bucks waiting arms. That's a tough one right there.
Recovered by Ryan Henderson, the junior defensive end. They went with sort of a squib kick right at the front line of that Bob Jones defense, and it made them pay.
Great call there. Great element of surprise call right there by the Bucks. That was something that nobody expected, and certainly caught all of us off guard.
Bob Jones will go back on defense for the second consecutive time. Buckhorn bringing in their offense. All kinds of confusion on the offense. We'll see if a timeout was called by Buckhorn. And it looks like it was called by Bob Jones, actually. Bob Jones calls the timeout there. Buckhorn was having all kinds of issues getting the right players and the right play in there. As Buckhorn's getting set to start their second possession at the 42-yard line. Second possession inside Bob Jones' territory already. As that squib kick, we go back and just talk about just the mental awareness you got to be. We told you Buckhorn's got nothing to lose right now. And Buckhorn is not a team that's 0-4 on the season. Buckhorn is a team that is a sturdy, athletic, powerful group of guys. And if you don't pay attention, they'll be able to punch you right in the mouth and right where Bob Jones has struggled in two of his last three games. And that's where Buckhorn's taking advantage right now.
Yep. Coach Rose told us they're going to return 18 starters next year. That doesn't include Will Ignat, but that's an incredible number. And they're going to open up the playbook tonight. They're going to let everything fly.
Holiday comes back in with two receivers to the right, one to the left, one tailback. Shotgun hands off quickly. And making a man miss in the backfield to the 41, to the 40-yard line. Maybe get to the 40, just shy of it. Just shy of the 40 goes. That's another carry for Dallin Woodley. It's a gain of one.
Trey Langford in there on the stop, but Gavin Lewis almost had his second tackle for loss on that one. Matthew Evans able to make him miss.
Second down and nine as the Bucks come back with the same formation. Look back to the sideline for the play. Near side, watch out for Kendrick Johnson, the tight end. He's a big body down there, too. Watch out for him, Kendrick Johnson, 6'3", 217. Big handoff up the middle again to Woodley. Stopped just inside the 40 to the 39. Another yard gain there. We'll make a third down and eight for the Bucks.
Great job there by DJ Butler. Getting low and knocking the feet out from under the runner. Great job. Forces Buckhorn into its first third and long situation, a situation in which the Patriots thrive.
Buckhorn already up 7-0. Looking to add more points here. 9:08 to go here in quarter number one.
Got to watch the run here. They may force the issue.
One tailback, one fullback. Shotgun for Holiday. Holiday rolls right after the fake, looking. Under pressure, has to throw this one back. It looks like it's going to be incomplete. There's a flag there. Looks like it's going to be a legal pass, maybe even a legal touching. As just to try to get away, Holiday, who is hurt over there on that far side, he is at the hash mark, and he is holding on to his arm, it looks like. He is hurt. He is wincing, definitely. There's a flag on the field. Basically threw it to one of his offensive linemen, which is not allowed. Or at least he's not allowed to be the first one to try to catch it. Holiday telling his teammates that he's okay, but he is in some definite pain over there for the Bucks.
I'm kind of surprised they called that a pass. I felt like that ball got knocked loose. It was a fumble.
It was very close. Look, he was trying to get it away, though. And that will be a penalty and a loss of down as well. So it will be fourth down. And call that fourth down and 16 now.
It's a big stop for Bob Jones. Already you're down 7-0 and they get the ball right back. Great job by the defense to force this three and out. Much needed.
Yeah, Buckhorn will struggle throwing the ball. If you get them into those third and long situations, they can definitely get some pass rush. Will Bob Jones, that was one of those situations. Both teams fighting back and forth to try to get players, the right players onto the field. Bob Jones has no one back to return. They're playing for the fake. A.J. Harris being one of those guys who normally returns. They're trying to get the near side slot man covered just in case they do. So Bob Jones plays for the fake as it's at the 47-yard line of the Patriots. Play clock down to 12. Here comes the punt from number 15, Bo Murdoch. He's this one deep and is down at the 10-yard line. And Bob Jones will get their first final possession, or first finally get their possession to start the game. 8:45 to go here in quarter number one. Bob Jones was standing a fury so far. Buckhorn comes in, scores on their first drive after a 59-yard kick return, a couple of quick runs later there in the end zone, and then the not so much onside kick, but the squib kick that goes off the feet of Jayshon Holly and ends up being recovered by Buckhorn does not damage Bob Jones too much. So here come the Patriots, number 10, Brady Paulsen, with his starting tailback, Jalen Williams, who's really taken the lead on this team as a tailback spot, but it's because Brad Anderson, more of a slot back anyway. Mekhi Stewart comes in motion. They'll fake to him. They'll go to Williams, who goes to the 10, the 12, the 13. He'll get to the 15. Good, tough running there. A 5-yard carry for Jalen Williams there as Juicy starts off positive.
Yeah, it was a great job right there by the offense to keep that pile moving, and that's what we're going to need all night. Bob Jones really has to lock down their run game because that's going to be what's going to really put them ahead in some playoff situations.
We'll see how much Bob Jones tries to test the perimeter because this defensive front inside the hash marks is tough. They hand off to Williams again. He has to spin off a couple of men. Now he spins off another. Inside, he comes back the other way to the 20. Still on the feet to the 25, to the 30, to the 35. Back inside to the 40, to the 42, the 43. And finally bottled up at the 44-yard line. That's 29 yards on the carry for Jalen.
No, that was Brad.
Was that Brad Anderson?
That was Brad. Brad Anderson
just kept going.
No surprise, right? I mean, basically shed half the Bucks defense right there, and just amazing moves. That play should have been over three or four different times before he broke that thing open.
My goodness, Brad, you're some kind of something. So 28 officially on the carry, and it goes to Brad Anderson again. Right side, spinning a little bit, gets up to the original line of scrimmage, maybe another yard. Give them one. Let's be nice for the home team here. Be second down in 9.
Ignant there on the tackle, and he's a guy that the Patriots are going to have to keep a very, very close eye on because this is a guy that will bring guys down for sacks, tackles for loss. He's already over 10 in both those categories this year.
Patriots put 3 receivers to the left, including Brad Anderson. He's a dangerous back out there in the backfield. Buckhorn shows the blitz, backs off as the Patriots change the play. Jalen Williams comes from behind his quarterback to his left. 7:08 on the clock. 2nd and 9 from the 44. Throw outside to Brad Anderson, looking for space. Gets some to the 50, to the 45, and he trips on his own feet to the 44-yard line. That's a gain of 10. That's a gain of 10 there for Brad Anderson. You just hate when you fall on your own feet.
The only person that can stop Brad Anderson is Brad Anderson. That guy, sometimes he's even too quick for his own good.
So the Patriots will set up 1st and 10, wearing their home red tops, white bottoms, white helmets. BJ logo on the side with the American flag insignia. Quick handoff to Demontrez Brand, who comes in motion to the 40. Flag on the field to the 35. Huddles with a defender to the 30. Laid out with a big hit from number 44, Aaron Zawacki. There's a flag on the play right next to where Demontrez Brown made the cut, and that is going to be holding on the Patriots.
That's really tough because the edge, it was completely sealed, and there was really no need for a hold at all. Demontrez would have made it to the outside with no problem, and that's really tough because Demontrez Brown had an easy gainer right there for first down.
So they'll mark that to where it'll be about 1st and 18, if I'm looking at the spot right, maybe 19, as it goes back into Bob Jones territory at the 47-yard line. Will remain 1st down. As the Patriots with the first offensive possession started back at their own 10-yard line. Paulsen puts 2 of his receivers to the right, 2 to the left. Your side, Sam Barnes, too. Watch out. That guy can make some big plays. Quick handoff to Jalen Williams. Tried to make a man miss in the backfield. That makes one miss, but he's tackled by Zawacki after he gets back to the line of scrimmage.
Zawacki's part of a two-guy tandem at linebacker, along with Ignant. Both seniors, both guys with big, wide frames and great tackling.
2nd down and 19 for the Patriots in the shotgun. Zawacki shows blitz. backs off. So does number 38, Michael Moynihan. Jalen Williams, the tailback. Polson looks, waits the rush. Rush comes over the middle. Caught by Stewart. Caught by Stewart at the first down marker. And one more. It's a first down for the Patriots. He needed 19. He got 20. Second completion of the night for Brady Polson. Goes for 20, and the Patriots continue.
That's been Mekhi all year. We need 10 yards. He's going to get us 11. That guy is one of the easily the most consistent wide receiver we have, and he's going to be big for us in the playoffs.
First down at 10 of the 31 for the Patriots. Three receivers all to the right side. One tailback. Polson, quick throw near side. Anderson in the backfield to the 30. Looks to go upfield to the 26-yard line. It's a gain of 5. Gain of 5 for Polson and a gain of 5 for Brad Anderson, who has already had his second catch of the night.
Glad there were just first few plays were all runs for Bob Jones. Last couple plays got Brady Polson involved, and now this offense can really start churning. They've been playing so well the last few weeks. Got to keep it up.
5:18 on the clock here in the first quarter. Buckhorn leads 7-0 over the Patriots. Three receivers to the left, one to the right. Nice job by the Patriots so far, trying to make those linebackers run sideline to sideline. They are so tough underneath and inside the hash marks. Quick throw over the middle to Sam Barnes. It is barely deflected. Sam Barnes had to deflect that one just to keep it from being intercepted. It's incomplete. As that one came up quick on number 7.
Brady Polson, don't let him fool you. That guy can just, he can throw some serious rockets. And if you're not fully prepared, I mean, that ball whizzed right past you.
But he's got 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on the season. Has been red hot the last 3 weeks.
But he's been doing so much better at not overthrowing his receivers, really finding his stride here.
3rd and 5 gets the snap. There's a flag on the play. Bob Jones' coaches are signaling offsides. Hopefully for the Patriots' sake, that's correct.
That would be huge to bring up a 3rd and 1 if that's the case.
Flag was thrown on the near sideline, right in front of the Bob Jones Patriots coaches. On the near hash mark, and it looks like it is going to be offsides as they're marking it off now. Haven't gotten the signal yet, but it'll make it 3rd down and very short. Offsides officially now the call. Be 3rd down and 1. A lot on the line for Bob Jones in this game. Already making it to the playoffs next week. Seeding is now what can be affected. They need a win and some help to be able to host in 2 weeks. Two receivers to the right. One comes in motion. That's Mekhi Stewart. Won't go to him. They'll go to Jalen Williams, who bounces off one defender, but not the second. In the backfield, it'll be 4th down and 2. Will Ignat underneath there with the tackle. Will Ignat, 4-star linebacker, at one point was a 1,000-yard rusher for the Buckhorn Bucks. He's got a lot of offers from a lot of places. He was a silent verbal to Alabama over the spring. He has since rescinded that and has now opened his recruiting up. Alabama, Auburn, UCLA, Michigan, all on the list. Patriots 4th down and 3, and they'll go for it from their own 34. Two receivers to the left, 2 to the right. Polson looks, fires near side. It is lofted. It is incomplete. Looking to go to Mekhi Stewart near side. Incomplete. Nothing there. And a good stand by the Buckhorn Bucks defense.
That's tough. Brady had his man. Just threw it a little bit too far inside. Mekhi had to adjust. He was looking to catch that ball more near the sideline. Ball's trajectory made him turn inside, and he basically had to knock that ball away from a defender as well.
1st down and 10 for the visiting Bucks with their road white jerseys, blue tops, and gold stripe down the side. Blue numerals encased in gold, blue helmets with the antlers on the sides. Whistle on the play. Before the play, Jackson Holliday is clapping. Looks like Bob Jones is going to be cut offside. They are antsy up there, are the Patriots, to try to get some of these first down stops. This one will go against them, an offsides call. We'll make it 1st down and 5 for Buckhorn.
After last week against Grissom, a season high in tackles for a loss. So Bob Jones trying to sustain that kind of momentum. It's powerful.
Holiday on first and five looks to throw over the middle. It is caught at the 40 to the 44-yard line. Big first down catch is the guy we told you to watch about, Kendrick Johnson, 6'3", 217. Hard not to find him and hard not to watch out for that guy. As a big first down for the Bucks, and they move the sticks. First and 10, no huddle, quickly back to the line. Take the handoff, Holiday looks over to the right side, another catch to the 50, to the 46-yard line. That's right at the first down marker, stays in bounds. As another completion for Jackson Holiday, that goes to number 18, Garrett Marks, 5'9", 170.
Interesting, the Bucks are going away from their mains, with their mains away from their mainstay, which is running the ball, but their quarterback in comfortable situations, quick throws, short routes, and it's working.
Two receivers to the left, two to the right as they go on that far hash mark at the 46-yard line. Is enough for another first down as the Bucks go two plays, two first downs. Holiday looks to fire again, looking right side. That one is caught again at the 40-yard line. He goes out of bounds, actually to the 41. Another big catch that again goes to Kendrick Johnson.
Kendrick Johnson's a guy with a massive catch radius, 6'3", senior, 217. He's a guy that could definitely play on Saturdays.
Second and five. They'll put two to the left and two to the right. Holiday steps up in the pocket, rolling, looking, throwing at the first down. Sticks it, is caught. Guess who? Number 11, Kendrick Johnson at the first down marker. Another first down. A safety valve, a first target, and a quarterback's best friend is a guy who's 6'3".
I tell you what, that guy is, and he's been wide open along the right side three plays in a row. Got to lock that down, and A.J. Harris was the one to knock him out.
3:35 on the clock here in quarter number one, 7-0 Buckhorn. The Bucks are driving. Quick handoff goes underneath for the first time this drive. It is not taken by Woodley to the 32-yard line. As the senior gets his third carry of the game, that's a 3-yard carry there for Woodley, and that will be second down and 7. Bucks put two to the left and one to the right. One fullback, one tailback. The tailback who is in now is Matthew Evans. He's got the touchdown of the game for 13 yards. Holiday in formation gets the snap. Quick handoff to Evans. Gets past a couple defenders. He's in the open field. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown. There are no flags on the field. That goes for 32. And the Bucks are taking it to Bob Jones early, 13-0.
That's a good play right there. Found his way right up the middle, and there was way too big of a hole right there. Bob Jones was showing blitz, and they came with their outside backers trying to close the gap, but that opened up a huge hole right up the middle. And that's something that our linebackers have to fill. And they're going to be tested the rest of this game. They're not going to let up.
The extra point attempt is up. The extra point attempt is close, but it's good. 2:49 to go here in quarter number one. The Buckhorn Bucks lead Bob Jones 14-0. You're listening to Bob Jones Football exclusively on the Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Now back to Bob Jones Football on the Ump.
Back live here in Madison. Buckhorn taking a 14-0 lead on the Patriots, and it's time for a Bob Jones response. This pooch kick comes near side. It is caught by Mikhail Stewart. He's at the 34. He gets to the 40, to the 43, to the 44-yard line. Gets 11 on the return. And the Patriots have a real good field position at their own 44-yard line. So that's a good spot for the offense to set up.
Yeah, it's a good starting position. Best of the game so far. But the Buckhorn Bucks, you can tell, they're not interested in giving our returners much of a chance to get that ball in open space. That little pooch kick, I'd expect to see that the rest of the night as long as the Bucks are able to hold this lead.
Bob Jones will set up on the near sideline. Two receivers to the right. They'll put two to the left, and one tailback is Williams. Anderson and DeMontrez Brown over to the left side. DeMontrez Brown comes in motion. They'll hand off to Williams, counter to the other side. He gets to the 45. That's a gain of one for Jalen Williams. He now has four carries for 4 yards.
That's the right side. He got blown up a little bit. Ethan Ganouche unable to seal off his block there, and defensive end was able to come back and make a play on the ball.
Clock continues to roll at 2:18 in quarter number one. Paulson throws near side to Sam Barnes. He runs up the middle to the 50. He fumbles the ball forward. It's on the field. It is recovered by Buckhorn at the 36-yard line. A recovery by number 35, Peyton Wilson, outside linebacker, defensive end slash. A nice punch out from behind, and things not going so hot for the Bob Jones Patriots.
Another one of those senior linebackers for Buckhorn, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do. Didn't try to scoop it. Immediately went to the ground and went in the field position with the ball. Right now, Bob Jones not coming out in the correct mindset, and Buckhorn's jumping all over them. A team with nothing to lose.
So two turnovers for the Patriots early. See if Buckhorn can make them pay for the second time tonight. 2:08 on the clock. Jackson Holiday comes in. Brings a man in motion. Quick throw to him in the flat. He goes far side. He's going to throw. He's going to throw wide open. They have a bucket. It is caught at the 35 to the 31-yard line. It was a bad throw, but getting wide open helped the matters from Chris Baskin, the 5'9 senior, who was completely all by himself. It was as if he was alone at sea.
And that's really the only reason that the receiver was able to throw that ball a mile in the sky. I mean, that thing hung in the air like a punt. But a great play, and once again, Buckhorn opening up that playbook.
Looks like it was 36 on the catch, I believe. Quick handoff again goes to Woodley. He makes a couple men miss. He gets back to the 20-yard line, the 19. There's a gain of 11. And Buckhorn just taking it to Bob Jones. One of these teams looks like they're going to the playoffs, and it's not the one that's actually going to the playoffs.
I tell you what, they're playing like they're already ready for 2017. This Bucks team has slowly been picking up momentum, and last week was able to, James Clemens just squeaked by them. So this is a team that's red hot.
Halliday will send it underneath to Woodley again. He keeps pushing up for. He's inside the 10. He's to the 5. Keep pushing forward to the 4. Holy smokes. Another big carry, another big run for number 28, Dallin Woodley. Gets to the 5-yard line where they'll mark him down. Another 15-yard carry.
At some point, you have to start sending some heat right up the middle. I mean, they are gashing the Patriots right up the middle almost every time.
One lone receiver near side. Won't hand it to him. Hand it to Woodley again, who's taken down at the 2-yard line after a gain of 3. Second down and goal. Kate Kohler with the tackle on that one as we go. Under a minute to go here in quarter number one. Buckhorn looking to put their third touchdown across the board already.
It's a tough spot here for Bob Jones. This a stop is pretty much absolutely necessary. It's going to be interesting to see what they got.
Quarterback keeper for Holiday. He is wrapped up. He tries to fall forward to the 1. Stretches. Just short. I'm not sure if that was supposed to be a keeper. There's a miscommunication. Looked like it could have been a little bit of both. But it's third down and goal just inside the 1.
This is where Bob Jones has to stand up right here. You got to see what you're made of right here. You're down a couple of touchdowns. Time to stand up.
Easton Mooring, the junior fullback, is in. Moves forward, quarterback sneak. It's close. It's a touchdown. The third touchdown of the quarter. This time it goes to Jackson Holiday, who goes right up the middle with the keep. And Buckhorn playing lights out football right now.
And taking advantage of all the mistakes that Bob Jones is putting out there. Right now, Bob Jones is looking like a team that didn't even practice this week, and they're certainly not prepared for what Buckhorn has for them. And Buckhorn, like I said, taking advantage of every single mistake. They're not letting Bob Jones get away with anything tonight, and that's something that, honestly, Bob Jones has gotten away with a few too many times this year.
Looks like extra point is up. Extra point is no good. No good. For the extra point. We'll keep it right here since there's 9 seconds left here in the first quarter. Buckhorn leads 20-0 and just a absolute stunner right now for Bob Jones. They haven't looked terrible, but again, not really looked too good either.
Yeah, the Bucks are just playing lights out. I mean, they're playing at 110% right now. They're going 100 miles an hour. And Bob Jones has to answer the call here. I hate to say, I don't think it's a must-score situation, but, I mean, you need to, number one, get a drive, and number two, get a long drive for your defense right now, because you don't want to gas these guys going into the playoffs.
You know, we told you about how many playoff scenarios are affected by tonight and tonight's game. Well, none of them mean jack unless you win this game. And down 21 to nothing with 9 seconds to go here in the first quarter is a bad, bad sign for the Patriots. We'll wait the kickoff going from right to left. Will the Bucks? This pooch kick comes near side. Mikael Stewart once again at the 34, looking for a little space to the far side to the 40, and that'll be all he gets. 6 yards on the return, and the Patriots will set up with 3 seconds to go here in quarter number one.
And at this point, I mean, Buckhorn's been pulling out the playbook. Might be time for Coach Rose to do a little trickeration of his own. His team in bad need of any kind of momentum at this point.
They do need a spark somehow. A score would do it even if it was a drive, but they do need some type of change in momentum. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Brad Anderson, the tailback. He's the guy that can give you spark. They hand it to him. Up the middle, he goes to the 41-yard line. That's a gain of 1. That won't be much of a spark, but it will be the end of the first quarter as the Buckhorn Bucks lead the Bob Jones Patriots 20 to nothing here in Madison City Schools Stadium. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back quarter number two as we switch sides of the field. You're listening to the Bob Jones Patriots exclusively on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to the booth we go with Arky Shea and Seth Hagan. Bob Jones football is on The Ump.
Back live here in Madison, Alabama. I'll tell you one person who is happy right now about this. That's the superintendent of Madison County Schools, who is Matt Massey, who is a former teacher and coach of mine and a former Buckhorn coach and teacher, and right now the superintendent of Madison County Schools, as one of his county schools, is up 20 to nothing over a Madison City school.
I'd imagine he's nothing short of giddy right now.
Patriots put 4 receivers to either side. Freddie Paulson looks, fires over the middle. Look to Montrez Brown, wide open. Got him 20. Got him 15. Got him 5. Got him in zone. DeMontrez Brown for 59 yards, and the Patriots are on the board.
We were searching for that spark, and that'll do. That'll do right there. DeMontrez Brown, Mr. Big Play. Love the way that he gets loose downfield. He's a big body, and with speed to match, he's a guy that's going to be one of our biggest contributors next year. But DeMontrez right here, we need him in this game. We need him to have his best game tonight.
Ian Kowalski comes on for the extra point. Kowalski gets the kick up. Kowalski gets the kick to be good. And it is now 20-7. Bob Jones with the spark. Let's see if the defense can help him out. 20-7. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots football exclusively on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to live coverage of Bob Jones football on The Ump.
Back live here in Madison, Alabama. That was a very quick timeout, a very quick segment. Comes Bob Jones as fast as we know they can go. Needed something desperately offensively good to happen for them, and that was a good sign. Brady Paulson to DeMontrez Brown for 59 yards. That drive, officially 2 plays, 60 yards, 18 seconds.
Exactly what we needed. We needed 7, and we got it, but we also needed a longer drive, and our defense is right back on the field now. With not much rest.
Michael Moynihan with the fair catch at the 27-yard line of the short kick from Ian Kowalski. And the Bob Jones Patriots will send their defense back on the field. We talked about Bob Jones looking defensively for some type of help. You know, to be able to have Mac Reagan, that big offensive lineman, to come in as your nose tackle with Gavin Lewis as one of your huge, huge, huge playmakers. And also having in there number 19, Chris Cobb, right now on the other side. See if they can get some kind of push there. As Jackson Halliday sets up with 11:50 on the clock. 2 tailbacks, 1 fullback, and 2 receivers. They'll split them either side. Halliday, quick throw over the left side. It is caught. He'll finally go forward to the 30-yard line. That's a gain of just about a yard. Maybe tough to be about a yard, as that one was caught on that left side by number 18, Garrett Marks.
Kate Kohler there with the team-leading third tackle. He's tied with DJ Butler, both with 3 on the night. Love seeing Mac Reagan right up the middle. He's got to be a disruptor. Take up a couple of those offensive linemen, freed up the linebackers to make plays.
Holiday puts two of his receivers to the right side. Be a quick handoff to the left side. Another big space there for Woodley to the 450, to the 44-yard line, where that will be knocked out. Actually, they'll say it's the 47 that he stepped out. Another dangerous carry. In fact, actually, that one goes to Matthew Evans, left side. Woodley was in on the play as well, went the other way. So first down and 10 at the 47 for the Buckhorn Bucks, up 20-7. They're looking to keep their momentum going. One receiver left, two to the right, including Marks, who is wide on the near hash mark. One tailback for Holiday. Gets the snap, throws near side, gets it to Marks, tries to make a couple men miss. He gets to the 45-yard line. That's a two-yard gain for the senior. It'll be second down and 8.
It's a great job there by Khalil Griffin. He's a young playmaker and a guy that came on just a couple of weeks ago, already with two tackles on the night. Most impressive about that play, the play had him going completely the other direction, turned on a dime, and was able to make the stop.
Chris Baskin now in as a receiver, coming all the way down to the near side. The far left side is Kendrick Johnson. Quick handoff goes to Woodley. Ball's loose. Bob Jones looking for it. Mac Reagan thinks he might have it. He drops it. Somebody's got to have it underneath there. Bob Jones had two players that almost had it. What's the pile underneath? Bob Jones says they have it, and they're pointing the wrong way. So who actually has it? And it looks like Bob Jones has it. Bob Jones gets it. Huge fumble recovery there for the Patriots, as it looked like Jayshon Holley may have had his hands on the far side, that he loses touch with it. Also, who thought he had it was Mac Reagan, and then he lost his hands on it. And now the Patriots get the ball back at their own 47-yard line after a disastrous turnover. The Patriots are back on.
Well, that was a timely turnover right there. Mac Reagan almost didn't scoop that thing, and I'm thinking, big fella, flop on that thing. Ain't nobody coming up under you to get that.
Two receivers to the left, two to the right for the Patriots. Brady Paulson looks to fire deep down the left side, looking for DeMontrezl Brown again. He had a little bit of room, but it wasn't until late. A little double coverage there, including from Kalen Redding, the 5'7 senior. I'll tell you, I'll take 6'2 over 5'7 9 days out of the week.
Yeah, Coach Rose might have found something that he really likes right here. Guy guarding DeMontrez that really cannot match up with him physically whatsoever. Cameron Jolly, a senior 5'7 cornerback, and DeMontrez is going to rule that all day.
Second down and 10. Will Ignat and company as the linebackers trying to show blitz. Will Ignat been fairly quiet so far as the impact on the tackles itself. Polson throws near side of Brandon Anderson. Got a little room to the 50, cuts inside to the 45, cuts back inside to the 40-yard line. That's a gain of 13.
Brandon Anderson showing that special ability, stopping on a dime and making guys miss. Great job. He had about 5-6 yards, but he turned that into 11 with a couple of nice moves.
Brad Anderson, 5 touches today, 3 catches. He comes back in as the lead tailback, under 10 minutes to go in quarter number 2. Two receivers left, one to the right. Polson, quick fire near side to DeMontrezl Brown. Big body, making some men miss. Get to the 30, bowling over to the 28-yard line. That's another gain of, look at him, 13 on that one, to the 27-yard line.
I tell you what, as stout as the front seven is of Buckhorn, they are equally thin on the outsides. If Coach Rose can expose that, they can make this comeback real quick.
First and 10 at the 27. Polson fakes near side. He's going to go for Mekhi Stewart near the end zone. It is incomplete. A double pump there for Brady Polson as they had one man playing high side. Mekhi Stewart had to make his man on the outside miss. Looks like that was Redding again, but that didn't happen until late. It was incomplete regardless.
That was a good fake there by Brady. He had his man, but later put it out just a little bit too far. It was nearly intercepted by Kalen Redding. He's been around the ball all night.
Second and 10, already 11 pass attempts from Brady Polson. They'll give it to Brad Anderson, comes near side, spins around, gets to the 26-yard line. That's about 2, maybe 1, a little closer to 1 here. Brad Anderson's 3 carries tonight go for 28 yards, 1 and 1. So third down and a long 9. Bob Jones trailing 20-7. They are in Buckhorn territory with 9:05 to go in quarter number two.
Makai Stewart on that right side. I've been looking for him.
Four receivers, two to the left, including DeMontrez Brown, and in that slot is Brad Anderson. Two to the right, Sam Barnes and Makai Stewart. Jalen Williams, the tailback, to the right of his quarterback, Polson. Polson from the near hatch gets the snap. Looks left, scrambles, looks over the middle. It is double coverage, incomplete. Looking for number 15, DeMontrez Brown, over the left side of the field. Double coverage there. Had enough big body there to make something happen. Just great defense from the double team to get a deflection there. And it'll be fourth down and long. And a field goal from here would be 43. We saw Ian Kraski hit from 40 last week. But the Patriots, down 13, decide to go for it.
Yeah, we need sevens here on the board, not threes.
Buckhorn showing pressure from the outside. Will Ignat, that's a guy, when he's got his ears pinned back, he's going to be tough to block. That's a tough type assignment for Ethan Ganush on the right side. Play clock down to five. Polson gets it. Gets a block there from Ganush. Throwing over the middle. It is caught. Oh, my God, it's caught. Oh, my God, it's caught by Makai Stewart. He's inside the five. Kalen Redding had a beat on that one, and I thought that guy was going to intercept that one and go a long way the other way. Somehow, some way, for 23 yards, it is caught by Makai Stewart. I'm not here to explain things. I just know things are weird.
Boy, that ball went right through Redding's hands, and amazing concentration by Makai to zone in and bring that ball in. Wow, what a play.
Quick handoff to Brad Anderson, left side, inside the two, inside the one, end zone. End zone. Bob Jones and the Patriots have cut the lead to 7.
Boy, Makai Stewart, how about this guy? He's Mr. He's Johnny on the spot. Just whenever you need him, he's going to be there. And boy, what concentration and focus to have that ball. I mean, that ball was right in Kalen Redding's hands. And so to snag that right after the, my goodness.
Brad Anderson with his 10th rushing touchdown of the season. That leads the team. Jalen Williams, not bad himself. He's the leading rusher as far as yards. He has 9. False start for Bob Jones. He'll make this a little bit longer.
Kraski will get a chance to show off a little range with this one.
Kraski, that will set this one up from 15, which will be a 25-yard field extra point attempt. Kick is up. Kick looks like it's close on the right side, and it's good. It's good. Brad Anderson, a 3-yard touchdown run, brings the Patriots within 6. Buckhorn still leads 20-14. There's 8:18 to go here in quarter number 2. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots football exclusively on the Ump. Brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence.
Now back to Bob Jones football on the Ump.
Patriots give up 20 to start the game to Buckhorn. They come back now with 14 straight and set. That's a good sign to see this team not go into a shell like this. Good times for them.
Yeah, absolutely. That was such a great, just great timing by Makai Stewart. Obviously a great catch, but Bob Jones needed to respond. They needed to find a way to put some points up on the board. And, of course, that last turnover was extremely timely.
Ian Kraska will come on the kick from the Buckhorn 45. There was a personal foul onto the touchdown. A little bit of jawing afterwards as Ian Kraska will come up. If he can't send this one to the end zone, I'm not sure when else he's going to be able to. That's in the end zone, and that's a touchback. So the Patriots will come back on defense after forcing a turnover, something they've not been doing up until the Grissom game for the last few weeks, which is why you can see that they've given up over the last 3 games, 37 points a game, and that takes into fact the Grissom game, but giving up 57 and 49 in back-to-back weeks is tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
They're getting gassed right up the middle, and this is something that the linebackers have to take personally. You've got guys on the defensive line clogging up the middle. This is where you have to fill those gaps.
Buckhorn with a 6-point lead. Holiday looks to throw left side. First play he does. It's caught at the 25 to the 29. That'll be where it stops, the 29. That'll be short of a first down by about a yard on that far side. Looks like that goes to Kenneth Allison, his first catch of the game, the 5'10 sophomore. We'll make a second down and one. Second and one with two receivers on either side of Holiday. One tailback. Holiday pumps, looks, throws left side. One-on-one coverage. It is overthrown. Overthrown, looking for Allison again. That's good coverage. Good coverage over there by the Patriots, and it looks like it's Jaden Hill over there with coverage again.
I tell you what, AJ Harris came into this thing as our one man stopper, but Jaden Hill over the year has progressed leaps and bounds in his one on one coverage, and tonight he's having himself a game.
There seems to be some discussion, and there's going to be, oh boy, a late flag there thrown. Defensive pass interference. I don't even think the crowd knows that that's happened yet.
No reaction.
So this is a third down and one. It's going to be a first down and 10 for the Buckhorn Bucks. Wow, boy, was that late.
I'm just wondering when the actual push occurred. I mean, certainly not towards when the ball was heading down. I mean, that ball was simply overthrown. I'm not sure how he gained a competitive advantage by contact, but it is what it is. Time to stop him again.
First and 10 on the 44-yard line come the Bucks. Quick handoff goes left side and bottled up in the left side. Looking with Matthew Evans for some room, and he's going to lose 4 yards on it, his attempt. Good push on that right side. Includes Mac Reagan, who was over there. Gavin Lewis, obviously, there all the time, all day, every day. And also Tariq Cureton.
Yeah, he was the main. Cureton. He's one of the main guys, and freed Jay Hawthorne up to make that play right up the middle. That's a great job there by number 99.
Second and 15 for the Patriots. Three down linemen. They'll wait for four receivers to come out. Holiday scrambles up the middle. He's got a little bit of room. Gets to the 45. Scrambles to the 50. To the 45. Ball is on the ground. Ball is on the ground. Ball is on the ground. Bob Jones says they have it. They got it. Bob Jones got it. Jackson Holiday kept moving, kept swiveling, kept running, kept trying to get that first down and more. And the Patriots say they have the ball. No official word yet, actually. Everyone seems excited. Bob Jones seems to have the ball in their possession. Now there's still more clapping still. Man, these fumble calls have been taking a long time to get.
It seems pretty obvious. I mean, the ball was definitely out while the quarterback was upright.
Face mask. That's why. There's a face mask call during the run, and that's why, man, oh, man.
Boy, that's
that tough. Is how you get rid of a fumble.
And that's how you get a crowd reaction.
Face mask called. That face mask call was way back in the offensive backfield. That had to be on the offensive line, because that's nowhere near where Jackson Holiday was actually at when he was even trying to start to scramble. So, wow. A big bullet dodge for the Bucks with 7:18 to go, up 20-14. They'll keep the ball.
Another penalty bails them out and gives them another first down. They hadn't had they really haven't had more than maybe one or two positive plays this entire drive, and now they find themselves inside the Patriots 30.
Inside the 30. What I'm surprised about is that the placement of that, and I may not be correct on this, but if it's thrown way back at the 40 and Bob Jones recovered a fumble, doesn't that actually negate the play itself? If Bob Jones recovers a fumble, there's no advancement, is there not? You can't just assume the ball was going to be recovered by the road team.
Makes sense to me, but...
So that ends up being a 31-yard penalty from where the flag was thrown to where the ball is placed.
So 46 yards in penalties already on just this drive.
First and 10 from the 29 for Buckhorn. I'll tell you this. I may not like the way the officials called that one, but I like the Buckhorn uniforms. They look good.
They're looking pretty sweet.
Since they changed to Under Armour, they look good. They're a good-looking uni. 7:18 on the clock as we await this to be whistled back into play. Kevin Rose not happy at all about that, and I hope he's arguing my point, because my point feels like the best point to make, because I'm the one making it. Kevin Rose still talking with the head coach. He's still talking with the head official.
With the Jones defense, you have to continue to play with fire. You've been doing a good job knocking that ball loose, but... Unfortunately, both of those fumbles have been forced at the end of long runs. You got to shorten things up at the line of scrimmage if you want to slow down a team like this. I mean, once they get rolling, Buckhorn's got a great front They've been running the ball all night.
Both teams are ready, and it looks like we're now finally ready to whistle this one back in play. Kevin Rose has stated his piece, the head coach for the Patriots. Quick handoff goes up the middle to number 24, Matthew Evans. He gets maybe a yard. Give me a yard to the 28-yard line, and the Bucs will set up second and long.
If I'm not mistaken, that was Talik Kuerten that came off that right edge and start and made that first initial contact and pulled back the Buckhorn runner.
We'll split two receivers either side again. Evans stays in as the tailback to the left of Jackson. Holiday Jackson, that is. We'll hand it off inside the 25 to the 24. Gain of another 5. This will be just inside the 24-yard line. Be third down and about 4 to go.
It's the time for the front seven to step up. Buckhorn's been running the ball all night, and you know they're going to be looking for it. And if not, looking for a short route. They've been throwing them all night with Holiday. And maybe it's time for the back four guys to start jumping routes.
Third down and long 4. 2 receivers to the left on the near hash mark. 1 to the right. Holiday with the handoff again. It is stuffed. Stuffed by Cade Kohler. Stuffed by number 2. Cade Kohler, second on the team in tackles, enjoying his junior year here, making a big impact. Cade Kohler coming into this game with 48 tackles, 5 for loss, added to that. It's fourth down and 8 after a 3-yard loss. Back to the 26-yard line. Buckhorn comes back up. 5.5 on the clock. Bucks up by 6. Jackson Holiday looks, fires left side. It is incomplete. Off the fingertips. It was a great route call, but off the fingertips of number 9, Kenneth Allison.
A big sigh of relief for the Bob Jones Patriots because they had their man. He was wide open. Great route. Very similar to a throw that Mekhi Stewart had down here at the 10. But, he had to reroute his run and could not catch up to the ball.
So here come the Patriots with a chance to tie or take the lead on this possession. And it's been a complete reversal of fortune since those first 3 possessions for Buckhorn.
Already 4 turnovers in this game combined for both teams.
1 receiver left, 2 to the right, 1 tailback's Brad Anderson. Kai Stewart comes in motion. Won't go to him, will go to Brad Anderson near side. Gets to the 25, to the 26, to the 29, to the 30 they'll give him. That's a 4-yard carry. That was a tough bit of yards for Anderson.
Some of the best things I like about Brad Anderson is that he's a small guy, but he does not play small. He will come at you and lower that shoulder and bring the boom. And he's a guy that keeps those legs turning. I mean, little guy, but big heart and a great run there by Brad.
Polson back in shotgun with Demontrius Brown, the lone receiver near side on the numbers. Polson, hand off to Anderson again. Got some fate to the 40. Slips on his own feet again at the 40-yard line. That's going to be a gain of 9, a first down for the home team.
Another good run by Brad, but for goodness sake, somebody put some tape on that man's shoes. He cannot continue to fall. I mean, this is a guy that he makes a couple of cuts and he's gone. Those cuts are vital and it can break open a big play. A couple of slip-ups on plays where he could have had another 10, 15 yards.
To the 39, the Patriots go. Polson shotgun, steps back, fires, throwing deep over the middle. Demontrius Brown, one-on-one, is caught at the 25. At the 20 is where he's tackled. That's a 40-yard pitch and catch. Demontrius Brown is a big target. We've talked about him all season. Demontrius Brown is 6'2", 210, and why not go after that guy?
Especially when he's going after a cornerback that's just 5'7", doesn't look a single finger over a buck 40. That's going to be Demontrius Brown all night.
Demontrius Brown, 112 yards receiving and a touchdown already in the first half. Polson looks, fires in the corners, got some space. It is deflected. Flag on the play. That'll be defensive pass interference. Mekhi Stewart, it was a great throw. It was a great route. It was a great call by Matt Patterson, the offensive coordinator. Just Buckhorn unable to turn around off the deflection because it looked like it may have gone off his helmet. Maybe a waving arm for the back.
It was a good play on the ball by Matthew Evans. Good job to knock the ball away, but the initial contact before knocking that ball away gave it away. And Ref's going to call that every single time.
4:09 on the clock, and the Bob Jones Patriots get another first down. This time the Patriots will set up half the distance to the goal. From there, it'll be at the 10-yard line. So 20-14, the Bucs' lead is in jeopardy as the Patriots are driving the ball down the field. Two receivers left, two to the right, and one tailback is the shifty Brad Anderson again. Brad Anderson, remember, is a guy who can take it to the house. Two 99-yard touchdown runs in one game at the very onset of the season against Dorman. Quick handoff goes to Anderson. He is bottled up right at the line of scrimmage. Nothing there for Brad. Be second down and 10.
It's going to be tough to get those yards between the tackles. Front seven for Buckhorn is just so intimidating. Of course, I mentioned those senior linebackers are going to fill those holes all night. Brad Anderson, much more suited to getting outside and playing in space. It's going to be tough for him to get yards there in the middle.
At the 10-yard line, the Patriots set up now closer to the middle of the field. Split out the four wide receivers either side again. Blitz coming up the middle. Paulson looks and catches. Oh, man, incomplete. Oh, he had DeMontrez Brown on the slant underneath. He just throws it behind him. It's also off of fingertips, too. But, man, that was there.
Sometimes Brady Paulson throws the ball extremely hard when he doesn't really have to. Sometimes it's better to just put a little touch on that thing. And they're trying to throw a little scub missile in there. And sometimes when you try to throw the ball that hard, you actually end up being inaccurate.
Third down and 10 with 3:31 on the clock. Bob Jones wants a timeout, and they'll take it to sort of talk about this one. And rightfully so. This is a chance for Bob Jones to take the lead. And you wonder if they would be satisfied with a field goal attempt. I would think they would be, considering it'd be so close in the game with so much game left to be able to be played.
Yeah, I mean, your defense is playing well, and you got to trust them there in this spot. But, I mean, the momentum has flipped. And it's nothing wrong with taking 3 points because at the end of the day, you're on a 17-0 run no matter what.
Be sure to stay tuned to halftime. We'll talk to the head coach of the girls basketball team, Andre Reynolds, as they get set to start their season coming out real quick. In fact, maybe in the next couple of weeks as volleyball is starting to wind down. I think Super Regionals just happened up here just yesterday. Bob Jones falling just short in their Super Regional, which would have taken them to the Final Four next week. So Bob Jones looking good there. See how their girls basketball team looks. We'll talk to Coach Reynolds coming up at halftime. Also, we'll get you the numbers from this game so far, and we'll get you set for scores that are happening around the area. You would trust full James Clemens, Gaston City, Huntsville, the two big games that we're trying to pay attention to here tonight. But Bob Jones has got their own responsibility here first. Third down and 10. They'll come back on the field. No tailbacks. Paulson fires over the middle. It's intercepted. It's intercepted at the goal line. Coming the other way come the Bucks. The 15 to the 18-yard line. That's where it will be. Off the back foot, Brady Paulson throws that one right over the middle of the field. And it is picked off. Buckhorn stops the threat.
And I hate to say it, but he had DeMontrez once again in a wide open situation, and once again was inaccurate with the ball. He's trying to just throw it in there with as hard as he can, but if he can just loft it up there to DeMontrez, that's a situation where he's going to win all day, every day with a, you know, he's got a 7-inch advantage over anybody in that secondary.
Up the middle, Bob Jones stops and stuffs. Another run attempt. Bob Jones trying to get that middle of the field, that middle of that line shored up. And at the gain of 0 for number 28, Dalen Woodley.
Outside of that one turnover, it's really been a tale of two quarters so far in this game.
Four receivers, two either side. For Jackson Holiday, who's under 3 minutes to go here in quarter number two. He's got three timeouts if they need him. Bob Jones sends the pressure. Throw left side is caught and is stopped right at the 24-yard line. And it's a gain of about 6 on the play. It'll be third down and 4.
Jaden Hill with another stop right there. That's his third tackle of the night. He's already got a couple of passes blocked away. So he's having a great night so far. He was right on that ball. I wouldn't be surprised if he jumps the route in the second half and takes one to the house.
Give me an update right now. Gaston City leads Huntsville 42-0 in the second. That felt like that escalated pretty quickly. Two receivers to the right, one tail back for Holiday, taking his time. Play clock shows 5 seconds, now four, now three. Holiday gets the snap. He'll keep it himself. Left side up to the line of scrimmage, and that's it. Fourth down. And I'm sure Bob Jones wants a timeout here to try to get the ball back, but we'll see. Clock still runs. Buckhorn not afraid to go for it, but this is deep inside their own territory. Would they risk it? Clock continues to run. No timeouts being called.
Tell you what, you're up a touchdown inside 2 minutes on the road. No reason to tempt fate here.
Well, Buckhorn looks like they're going to. 20 seconds, 19 now for the play clock. Now they're going to look like they're going to try to get Bob Jones to jump off sides. Holiday with two receivers to his right. If it comes there, one tailback is Woodley. Bob Jones shows some pressure. Buckhorn being very patient. 7 seconds, 6 seconds. I don't think they're going to get a snap here. Doesn't look like they're going to. So he's going to kill some clock, and he'll call a timeout. Right as the play clock hits zero, there's a minute 15 to go here in the second quarter. Bob Jones doesn't have to take a timeout. Buckhorn kills about 35 seconds with that, and Bob Jones will come back and will receive the punt, and it'll be fairly decent field position with three timeouts and be roughly a little over a minute to go by then.
And he's going to be kicking almost, should be just inside his own 10-yard line. Be a really nice opportunity here for Jay Hawthorne to come through and knock one back.
One of the things Bob Jones needs to have happen, not only do they need to win to force a three-way tie and to possibly get that second seed. Gaston City was probably going to win, and that looks like the score so far, but they needed Hewitt Trustful to beat James Clemens outright to give them their second region loss of the season. And right now, Hewitt Trustful in the second quarter leads James Clemens 14-13 in a terrific battle. That James Clemens defense is tough, but so was that Hewitt Trustful offense. That was going to be a great, great, great battle to watch tonight in Hewitt. Fourth down and four for the Buckhorn Bucks. Back at his own 12-yard line to punt. They change formations to bring in more protection. Bob Jones' safety return is Brad Anderson. This one's sitting left side. Brad Anderson waits that one. It's a short kick, but it bounces to Brad Anderson, who spins down to the 37-yard line. It bounced at the 41 and started to bounce back behind. Brad Anderson got it, hoping to get a couple of yards, and still, when he spent, he fell down on the ground again. I don't know if that guy just needs longer spikes on the bottom of his feet or if he's just too quick for his own good. He is faster than his body wants him to be.
It's almost like he's a step ahead of himself, or he's a step ahead of his brain almost.
He's got to run a little bit in better control. He's a commit to Middle Tennessee State. Bob Jones with timeouts, 1:10 to go, three of them, and four receivers at their own 36, down 20-14. Been handed out to Jalen Williams outside to the 43, to the 44-yard line. It's a gain of eight for Jalen Williams, his longest carry of the night so far. It's his fifth carry for 12 yards.
Yeah, that is a guy that we definitely need to get going. Juicy is a vital runner for us, and with Brad Anderson kind of getting locked up around the middle, he's a bigger body, and we're going to need him.
Most importantly, he goes out of bounds.
Yeah, exactly.
1:05 now on the clock at the 44. Quick toe throw near side of Anderson. Anderson gets past the 45, cuts inside to the 50, spins around to the 47-yard line. That'll be enough for a first down.
Michael Moynihan almost hyperextended his knee on that one. Brad Anderson, once again, just stops on a dime. And that's the second time he's embarrassed a guy on the outside.
It's a 9-yard catch as the clock runs under a minute to go. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Polson looks, fires over the middle. It's caught by Stewart. He spins around from a couple defenders to the 34-yard line. He gets out of bounds to the 35. Great individual effort from Makai Stewart. It's another first down. Look, that one was for 12 yards.
And that's a senior-type play for Stewart. He caught that ball, and immediately his eyes were to the sideline. And despite being in the middle of the field, somehow makes it out of bounds.
That's his second catch of the night for 35 yards. Bob Jones with the full allotment of timeouts, 44 seconds. They're at the 35-yard line of Buckhorn. The officials getting some things squared away. Not sure what it was, but regardless, Patriots put four receivers back on. Anderson and Brown will be set up on the left side. You got Mekhi Stewart and Sam Barnes to the right. Haven't heard much from Barnes yet. Wouldn't be surprised to watch out for him over at the far right side. One tailback to Montrezl Brown in motion. Fake to him. Poulsen over the middle, back foot, looking for Brad Anderson. It's almost intercepted at the goal line. Having a beat on it was Nicky Rivers, the senior cornerback. A bad throw there from Brett Poulsen almost cost the Patriots a chance to score.
Boy, he had illusions of grandeur with that catch, or non-catch, as it were. He was thinking about taking that thing back to the house and forgot, you got to reel that ball in first.
Freddie Poulsen with 17 pass attempts already here in the first half. He's become much more pass happy, and his offense has turned a little bit more on his shoulders the last month of the season so far.
Offensive line doing a good job as well, keeping him protected.
38 seconds to go. Poulsen quick fires to Brown near side to the 35, pushes forward to the bowls over a man at the 25-yard line. I'll be right at the first down marker.
Montrez dishing out the punishment that time. Nicky Rivers, the guy who dropped that sure interception just a play ago, he was the recipient of that one.
He does stay in bounds, though. Poulsen will spike the ball at the 25-yard line to stop the clock. You know, Bob Jones still has all three timeouts. Yeah, I'm not sure. In fact, I think they only have two. I think that scoreboard is wrong. There was a timeout, looked like it was being attributed to Bob Jones very early.
Right, because they had a timeout
in the
first quarter.
So I'm not sure if they get that one back and it became an official's timeout or if the scoreboard is wrong. They have at least two. Two to the left, two to the right. Brady Poulsen looks in shotgun formation, fires over the middle to Mekhi Stewart at the five, caught at the five-yard line, first down. First down, that's a catch of 20 for Mekhi Stewart. His third catch of the night. And the Patriots will set up at the five-yard line. Quickly up to the line, Brady Poulsen calling out the play, 23 seconds to go. Clock runs, 22, 21, and 20. Two tailbacks, Poulsen looks, fires back corner for Mekhi Stewart. It is caught, touchdown! Touchdown, Mekhi Stewart, 5 yards out. Reward the dog who brought you to this one, and he is in, 20 all.
Mekhi Stewart once again just snagging that ball. I mean, he's got stick 'em on his hands or something tonight. He is making some great grabs, and like you said, reward the man. Reward the man. Give him that touchdown, another great catch and touchdown. And now that missed extra point looms a little bit large.
If Kowalski can make this kick, it will. Kick is up, and kick is good. And the Bob Jones Patriots have come all the way back to take a 21-20 lead with 14 seconds to go here in the second quarter, Seth.
That's tough. I mean, it's crazy because Bob Jones could actually be up right now about 28-20. That last interception in Bucks territory, and Bob Jones, despite their miscues in the first quarter, have been running on all six cylinders in this second quarter.
14 seconds remain here in the second quarter till we get to halftime. Patriots have stormed back to take a 21-20 lead. All kinds of miscues early for the Patriots, but they have totally figured out that offense back on.
It's great to see because they've been showing steady improvement every week for the last 3 or 4 weeks and looking to continue it. I mean, Brady Poulsen misfired on a few throws, but, boy, that drive was just about perfect. I mean, you can't do it much better than he did it right there.
23 passes. Here comes Kowalski on for the kick from his own 40, 14 seconds to go. This one's sent deep toward the left side. It's caught at the 21, goes to the 25, now to the 30. Looking for a convoy to the 40, 85-yard line. He's finally tripped up. Boy, if he wasn't tripped up right there, I'm telling you what, number 19, Jalen Dixon, had a whole lot of space to go. He already had a 59-yarder return earlier and on the first kickoff of the game. He could have been ready to give this lead back to the Bucks.
Yeah, that was Connor Henderson, actually a wide receiver playing on special teams, and he did exactly what you're supposed to, tackle low, remove that center of balance for that runner, and great job, way to end that one.
And look like that was a 23-yard return, and the Bucks will bring out four receivers, two left, two to the right. There's 7 seconds to go, and all timeouts that Jackson Holiday wants to use them. Quick throw left side, and now a shovel pass. Ball's on the ground, ball's loose, picked up by the Bucks, and they're going the other way. To the 35-yard line with no time left. Oh, man. We had ourselves a chance for a little bit of extra magic as they tried the lateral backwards.
Yeah, it was like a shovel
hook and ladder play.
Yeah, hook and ladder, exactly.
And it almost turned into disaster for the Bucks. Oh, cow. 21-20, Bob Jones is taking the lead, and the energy is all back on the home sideline after a disastrous first quarter. It's looking roses right now for Kevin Rose and company. We're going to take a four-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by the girls' basketball coach here, Bob Jones. He's Andre Reynolds. We'll talk about his team. We'll also talk about basketball in general. And I want to know just if he watched the WNBA Finals, because I'm not going to ask him about the controversy. But there's got to be some interest there. I watched some of that.
That was an awesome finish.
I seriously watched some of that. We'll be back. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football exclusively on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. What a mark you be back live into Madison City School Stadium as we are at halftime between the Bob Jones Patriots and the Buckhorn Bucks. Bob Jones, a 21-point straight frenzy right now to take the lead 21-20 over Buckhorn, and that is where we stand right now. And where we sit right now is with the head coach of the girls basketball team, Coach Andre Reynolds. Coach, nice to see you again.
Same here, man. Glad to see you. I'm still waiting on you to come on in the gym and shoot some basketball with us now.
I can just shoot, right? I don't have to technically worry about eligibility. I'll just shoot.
Right, we're ready. We're ready.
What time you got practice Monday? I'm there.
So we'll get started about 2 o'clock, so I'm looking for you.
It's a little early. I like naps. That's not going to help me. Do you guys have like a basketball block where like in school like you'll have like the last period for some of these girls?
Right. We have last period of the day. So athletic block. So we go in and do a little conditioning and things like that. And then we go after school as well. So
you guys just started practice this week. Is that right?
Correct. Monday was the first day of practice, official day of practice. We were very excited about that.
What is the best part about getting back to practice?
Starting season. So, you know, of course.
It just feels like it's so long between the last game and before you get back out there, isn't it?
Right. We had a bad taste in our mouth to end the season last year, you know, going down to regionals and losing to Hoover.
Yeah.
Especially the way we played, the girls felt like, you know, we were a whole lot better team than what we played. So ready to get started and start off where we left.
I want to give you a chance first before we get into the nuts and bolts of some of this to brag on one of your players, Kiara Moore, who was honored with a very distinguished honor for not only Bob Jones basketball, but from Bob Jones High School.
That's correct. She was the Wendy's High School Heisman winner for girls for Bob Jones High School. So very proud of her. You know, we stress academics at Bob Jones and also athletics, but for her to win that award is very, very exciting for us. She ended up with like a 4.4 GPA.
I'm sorry, what?
4.4 GPA, that's what? Right.
Is that out of like 12?
Yeah, right.
How do you get that high of a GPA?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Man.
You know, the AP classes and academics that Bob Jones offered, that's, you know, it makes us one of, you know, the best schools just right there in the academics. And then to have the athletics to add on top of it, that really helps us.
I am blown away every time I see some of the classes that these kids are taking nowadays.
Exactly. I know it, man.
I'm not even that far removed from them. Yeah. And they're like, they're just taking just mind-numbingly, seemingly hard classes, and they're acing them.
Right, and a lot of them, even like Kiara, you know, she runs track as well. So you got some kids at school that's playing multiple sports and still maintaining those grades. So that's a good thing about us. You know, we're prepared when they're here to go to college. So I love that part. And like I said, the classes that we are offering us, schools are offering now, they weren't available when I was in school. So it's pretty cool.
What do you do in the first week of practice? Is it more about conditioning? Can you install any type of gameplay? Is it to get used to your style of play for some of the newer kids?
Well, for the first week of practice, basically, it's, you know, we've done our conditioning once we started school in August, so it's almost like you're doing your during season workouts. We're not hitting the weights as hard as we were, but we're still trying to maintain. And it's basically almost like a refresher. You're starting to put in, you know, some of your system and things like that. And like you said, for the new players, getting those ladies adjusted, and the older players stepping up now, they're having to be leaders for the younger players. So them realizing that. So that's basically what we got going on the first week. But, you know, for the older players, it's almost like, oh, come on, ready. Because there's a lot of teaching, you know, that first week. So a lot of breaking down to make sure everybody's on the same page.
No, I'm sure a lot of those leaders and veteran players who I've been through this teaching before. They're like, I know this. I know this.
Right.
The thing. Yeah. You got to do. Yeah, keep doing this until you don't know this. Exactly. Until you can't forget this.
You know, I'm preaching to them every day. We want this to be like waking up in the morning and brushing your teeth. So it's something that's a habit for you.
Yeah.
So doing the little things.
Are you a tempo, a four-corner? Do you like to drain the clock? You like to drain the ball a lot?
Yeah, no, I'm more of an up-tempo.
Yes, like that's the kind of basketball to play.
I like to push it, and sometimes when you don't have much size, that's probably the thing that you have to do, try to speed other teams up. So I'm up-tempo, let's get the ball out, let's go push it, let's go. And defense, you know, that's the main thing. So we've been focusing a lot on defense on this first week of practice as well.
Aggressive defensive approach? Like, are you pressing all the time?
Yeah, like I say, I'm going
to – I don't want to give away your strategy now for people who may be listening.
Oh, that's fine. I plan on picking up from baseline to baseline. You know, we're going to keep them going.
Oh, man,
yeah,
that's
– pressure on them. So that's why condition is very important for us. We got to be in shape. Because, hey, we're going to run. So
– it sounds like I'm going to have to, like, get into some conditioning just to shoot hoops with you guys.
Oh, man, we'll do something. Maybe we'll play gotcha. When you come, we'll play gotcha.
Even then, if I got to bake him, because if I have to go chase the ball down, we're in trouble.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Better
make sure you make him.
He's the head coach of the girls' basketball team, Andre Reynolds. How's the team looking so far? I know it's only a weekend, but you got games coming up. When are first games, actually?
First game is November 15th. We play Austin, and it is at Bob Jones. Varsity play at 6 o'clock. JV play at 4:30. The team, they looking, like I say, we're pretty scrappy. We're looking pretty good, I guess to say, for the first week of practice. But you know, it's not, you can't really judge until you get the opportunity to play against somebody else. But the girls are paying attention. They're getting along well.
That's good.
And they're working hard. They're doing everything that we're asking of them. So,
talk about working hard. You told me something during the break that I didn't know, that you have two players who play volleyball who just lost, like literally just lost, I think yesterday in the super regionals,
right.
And we're at practice today.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Well, yeah, it was amazing. I was surprised myself, and I even, you know, contacted one of the girls' mother and told her, hey, you know, tell your daughter, you know, they don't have to worry about coming to practice today. They can start on Monday and give them a break. She was like, nah, she's going to have her stuff, and she'll be at practice ready to go. I said, well, okay, cool, let's go. So that was exciting. And then, you know, the thing about that, they didn't look bad. You know, that's just Bob Jones' way. The kids just come out and they hustle. And those two young ladies that were speaking about that, they're athletes. So when they hit the floor, you can tell, you know, they brought a little excitement. The rest of the girls were happy to see them, you know, have them out there on the court with them as well. Of course, we would have loved for volleyball to be going down and playing for a state championship, but they had a good season, a good run for them and Coach Marsh.
Coach, you have a bunch of great athletes. You also have some great young ladies too who are representing Bob Jones well, and I think that's the mark of not only great people but a great coach too, to be able to make sure that that they represent what they do at your program and the high school itself with class and dignity, and you got a bunch of girls to do that.
That's right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
He's Coach Andre Reynolds of the girls basketball team. I want to thank you so much for being in. I really appreciate it. And Coach, don't be a stranger. Come up here anytime you want.
All right, we'll do. We might have to come back up here for the fourth quarter of this game.
So, you may. You want to take my headset?
Yeah.
You want to call the fourth quarter?
I call the fourth quarter. Take a break.
Well, I got to start my conditioning if I'm going to play gotcha.
That's right.
Coach Reynolds, thank you so much for the time.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take a 4-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll have the numbers from the first half from Bob Jones and Buckhorn. That's the Bucks trail Bob Jones 21-20. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football exclusively on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to live coverage of Bob Jones Football on The Ump.
Back live here at Madison City School Stadium, where the Bob Jones Patriots have stormed back out into a 21-20 lead at the half here in this Region 4 matchup, which is only important if Bob Jones wins today. Seth, an impressive first half as far as action, offensively, defensively. Both sides have made a bunch of plays, also a bunch of mistakes. We'll take a look at some of the numbers in just a minute. But your thoughts on the first half offensively for Bob Jones?
Yeah, two completely different quarters. 6 turnovers in all between the two teams. And, boy, right out the gate, I mean, it was really discouraging, I can't lie. I mean, we just rolled out of bed in the second quarter. We were hitting snooze those first you know, 10, 12 minutes. But give credit to the guys. They stayed strong. Defense held up their end of the bargain in the second quarter, forced one turnover, nearly forced a second one, and forced the turnover on downs in their own territory. So didn't like the start, but was very impressed and encouraged by the way that they showed the resiliency in comebacks.
Brady Polson in the first half, 14 of 23 for 246, two touchdowns and a pick. Brad Anderson has seven carries for 46 yards and a touchdown, also had another four catches for 37. Mike Stewart, four catches, 60 and a touchdown. Jalen Williams, five carries for 12 yards. Demontrez Brown, four catches, 132. And Sam Barnes, one catch for 7 yards. So that's the offensive numbers for the Bob Jones Patriots, as they used the good chunk of that, the vast majority, in the second quarter. But what we need to know now, what we want to know now, is for Bob Jones, how does this move going forward? If Bob Jones can hold on, they need a James Clemens loss to Hewitt Trustful. Right now at the half, James Clemens is leading to Hewitt Trustful 20-14, thanks to a late touchdown pass in that game. That is a little discouraging if you're Bob Jones, but a whole half for Bob Jones, they still had to take care of business here, and a whole half still for Hewitt Trustful, James Clemens.
Yeah, you can't worry too much about what James Clemens is going to do. That'll kind of remedy itself out. Bob Jones right now got to focus on themselves, focus on the here and now, and continuing the momentum that they picked up in that second quarter. I mean, there was such a great second quarter, almost perfect. Honestly, aside from that interception, it was dang near perfect. So just continue the momentum, keep what you got going, and I really believe that they – I mean, if they continue to execute like they've been doing, they could run Buckhorn right up out of here.
Defensively for the Patriots, again, you talked about that tale of two different quarters. Bob Jones allowing nothing in that second quarter points-wise. A couple of drives, but a couple of big turnovers, a turnover on downs, and the Patriots are starting to get some of those key stats they needed, the middle of the ledger stats, the tackles for loss, the sacks, the pass breakups, the interceptions. They needed some of those, and they got a couple of those, including fumble force and recovery, too.
Yeah, that was a big, big play. Jaden Hill has been fantastic in coverage on the outside, already a couple passes defended. Gavin Lewis had a tackle for loss. Cade Kohler, six tackles on the night to lead the team, along with a tackle for loss. So impressed, really, by the defense in that second quarter and the way that the front seven just stepped up and silenced that run game. We have not seen them stop a run game like this in more than a month, and that's certainly encouraging, seeing as we're about to head into the playoffs in a couple weeks. We talked before the game about taking some good momentum into the playoffs and, you know, reversing the fortunes of last year. This was a great way to do it, and if they can continue in the second half, I feel very good about Bob Jones.
And it did not look like it was going to be that way for the Patriots, as Matthew Evans had a 13-yard touchdown and a 32-yard touchdown earlier this game, and it looked like Buckhorn was ready to run straight through the Bob Jones defense. But Bob Jones responded. Credit to them. Credit to all their seniors here on senior night, their last home game that they'll be playing in, most likelihood, if nothing else, is their last regular season home game. And leaving it all out on the line in that second quarter, you hope to see the Patriots move that forward and have some success. We're going to take a two-minute timeout. We'll come back, get you set for the second half. Bob Jones, Buckhorn, Patriots up 21-20. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football exclusively on The Ump.
Now back to Bob Jones Football on The Ump.
Welcome back into a gorgeous night for high school football in the state of Alabama and in North Alabama in particular. Outside, it is nice. 55 degrees, cool. I don't know what humidity is anymore, even though I spent 5 months running away from it. And it is a beautiful night. We've had a lot of really fun football happening tonight here in Madison. And the Patriots are getting set to receive the second half kickoff for just the second time this year.
That's interesting. I mean, how about that? And I mean, that was after losing the kick. Usually a team will want to receive start of the second half. Certainly would have helped Buckhorn in this instance, because this Bob Jones offense is running.
They're feeling pretty good about themselves right now, as well they should. They have been very effective. Bo Murdoch is on to kick for the visiting Bucks. going from the left to the right on the radio dial. Murdoch will set up near the near hash mark. Back to receive, Brad Anderson. Also, Terrell Jennings is back there in number 18, Khalil Griffin.
Buckhorn continuing to pooch kick it even after they've lost the lead.
Pooch kick goes to the far side. It goes right out of bounds, and that will be good field position for the home team as it bounces, went right in front of Mikhail Stewart over on that far side. So Bob Jones will set up first and 10. They'll move from the right to the left as a very explosive second quarter. This is a team that's seen its own quarterback, Mr. Brady Paulson, go for 464 yards in a game this season against Hewitt Trustful. Looks like they're going to make Buckhorn kick it again, so they're going to take the penalty on the kick. That'll go back to the 35 for another chance for Bo Murdoch.
Well, usually if you kick the ball out, kick the ball out of bounds, you automatically get it at the 35, but he actually kicked it out before the ball even crossed the 35-yard line, so I believe that's the reason why they had him redo it.
Love the name Bo Murdoch, by the way. That sounds like a private detective show that I would watch.
It's a strong name.
I like it. Strong name. Bo Murdoch, the right-footed kicker, will set up again number 15 on your programs. Set up for a short kick attempt. Maybe another pooch here. This one will be another pooch. Mikhail Stewart again at the 31. A couple of jukes to the 36-yard line, to the 37 before he's shoved out of bounds. And the Patriots will set up shop at the 37. So the Patriots will come back on the line with this team up 21-20 and a chance to try to do a little damage and extend this lead. This Buckhorn defense, which has been so vaunted, it's given up 23.5 points a game this season. It's been stingy at times. Held James Clemens to just 21 last week. Far hash mark to go. Four receivers, two to the left, two to the right. They'll bring one man in motion. It's Mekhi Stewart. They'll hand it off to Anderson. Cuts inside to the 40, to the 45. Bowls over to defender to the 46-yard line. It'll be a 9-yard carry for Brad Anderson, his first of the half. His eighth carry of the game, and that gives him over 50 yards for the game so far.
He's been doing a good job so far. He's still in the backfield there. Juicy now lining up on that left side behind Kendall Randolph.
Quick handoff goes Anderson again. Has to make a man miss in the backfield and does. Moves forward for another 2, maybe 3 yards to the 49-yard line. A 3-yard carry gets a first down for the Patriots. Bob Jones just 12 carries to 23 passes in that first half. They start off with 2 carries here, try to establish something there and hopefully get their offense going on the ground.
Yeah, right before the half, Jalen Juicy Williams got a nice 8-yard gain, and I feel like they are slowly but surely starting to lean on these guys. They protected Brady Paulson all night, and now slowly the running game is starting to take shape.
Bob Jones up to 70 rushing yards with the first down. Quick pop over to Mekhi Stewart, comes in motion. Another man missed in the backfield to the 50, to the 45. Got space to the 35, to the 33-yard line. That's an 18-yard carry for Mekhi Stewart. Again, that's 3 straight plays that Bob Jones has also had to make men miss in the backfield. Looks like Buckhorn's been close to it, but Mekhi Stewart, too shifty.
It's actually also the 5th straight drive that Bob Jones has found themselves in Buck.
3 receivers to the right for Brady Paulson. Quick handoff near side to Jalen Williams. He's hit at the 33, moves forward to the 31. It's 2 yards for Jalen Williams to the 31-yard line. His 6th carry of the game.
Yeah, looks like
10:40 on the clock. There's a whistle down near the line of scrimmage. There's a face mask called against Buckhorn. A face mask called near the end of the play. Looks like they're calling it on number 90, Kenton Warner, the 5'11", 230 defensive tackle. The junior not happy with the call, but it will be a first down for the Patriots. Good news also, there will be at the 16-yard line.
Just mentioned that this is the 5th straight drive into Buckhorn territory, but now 4 out of those 5 drives have seen the red zone.
clock shows does show that 10:40 to go. Patriots up by one with the ball. Sam Barnes, the lone receiver to the wide side of the field, which is the right side. Two receivers to the left. Brad Anderson, the tailback. Stewart comes in motion. Handoff to Anderson. Another juke move in the backfield, but gets inside the 15 to the 14-yard line. 2 yards there for Anderson. Patriots come up with a second down and eight.
It's been a long time since the Patriots sustained a negative play, and that's so big going into the playoffs. And also, offense playing with a lot of poise, not a lot of penalties as well.
Kendall Randolph, Mac Reagan on that left side doing some work. Tucker Walters right there at the center and doing a great job underneath as well. Quick throw to DeMontrezl Brown. He gets to the 10, to the 9, to the 8-yard line. 8-yard line gives them about 5. It'll be third down and a short 3.
Whole right side completely wide open. Sam is the only guy out there. I mean, he's on an island right now.
At the 8-yard line they go. Need to get just at the just inside the 7. Guy Stewart comes in motion. They'll go to Brad Anderson. Left side spins to the 5. Spins to the 1. Touchdown, Brad Anderson. Touchdown, Brad Anderson. You can't ankle tackle that guy. He's too quick. He's too good. He got out of the grasp of number 30. To Chris Moreau, who had him in the backfield, but absolutely unable to bring him down.
Second rushing touchdown of the night, and it happens almost the exact same way. Brad Anderson showing that skill, making the spin move, making guys miss. You're going to need about 3 or 4 guys to tackle Brad Anderson.
8-yard touchdown there for Brad Anderson. Extra point is up. It is close, but extra point is good. Bob Jones increases its lead 28-20. You're listening to the Bob Jones Patriots Football exclusively on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to the booth we go with Arkie Shea and Seth Hagan. Bob Jones Football is on The Ump.
The Patriots have gone for 28 consecutive points in this game to take a 28-20 lead as Ian Karowski will come on for the kickoff attempt. Karowski, just a 10th grader, just a sophomore. Obviously been the main place kicker for the Patriots all season, replacing a pretty darn kicker the Patriots had last year in Matt Stevenson. Comes the kick. Pooch near side is taken at the 30-40. Actually, the ball is loose and it's taken up by Buckhorn. It bounced right in front of a Buckhorn player. Looks like it bounced right in front of number 27, Tyler Marengo, but once it goes to 10 yards, it's open. And looks like Buckhorn was a little slow to get to that one, but they do get it, and it'll be a first down at the 37.
Man, that was dangerous right there. I mean, you catching the ball completely surrounded by Patriots, and Khalil Griffin was right there to knock him down just as he tried to move forward. But not a smart move right there, especially with the fire that this defense is playing with.
Buckhorn comes out with 1 tailback, 3 to the left, 1 to the right. Your receiver set. Quick handoff to Halliday, goes to the left side to the 44 yard lines will be, excuse me, Dallin Woodley. Halliday's the quarterback. He handed it off to him. Second down and 3. We'll come back up, same formation, quickly to the line. Team down 8. Take the handoff, throw over the middle. Pop pass there is caught over the middle at the 48 yard line. We've seen this number a lot tonight, not so much in the second quarter. Kendrick Johnson getting his first catch of the second half and his first catch, I think, of 5 possessions.
This has been a minute since Buckhorn was actually in Patriot territory.
Patriots replace number 19, Chris Cobb, with 77, Mac Reagan at the nose tackle spot. Reagan gets a push up there, and that's where that first down run will stop. Great inside penetration. Woodley had nowhere to go. He falls forward about a half a yard. It'll be second down and 9.
Once again, getting that push up the middle, allowing the linebackers to make plays. DJ Butler with his 5th tackle of the night. And it's just a matter of time before our leading tackler, tackles for loss, gets back there again.
At the 45-yard line of Bob Jones, sets up the box, 4 receivers. Johnson near side, so is number 18, Garrett Marks, who got the majority of the the touches the first half as far as receptions. Woodley still ends the tail back to the right of Holiday. Holiday with the keeper, right side, got space to the 40, got space to the 35, gets to the 34. That's a gain of 11 for the senior.
The linebacker just got caught out of position there. No real excuse for that one. I mean, they opened up the hole right in the middle, and linebackers did not react quickly enough, and they made him pay.
Jackson Holiday, son of the head coach, John Holiday. Formation grabs, looks, fires, left side. It is caught. That was a low pass, but caught perfectly over on that far sideline by number 9, Kenneth Allison. That's a gain of 9 for Allison. It'll be second down and 1.
Holiday's been working that back shoulder fade all night. They'll continue to do it until Bob Jones starts to jump routes.
Second and 1. Bob Jones jumps off sides, and that'll be a first down.
That's Gavin Lewis. He wanted to get back there again, but take it easy, big fella. You guys are doing good. You just got to – but you're taking yourself out of the game with a just, you know.
This may not be 100% accurate, but I think Gavin Lewis has every offsides called against Bob Jones this year. That guy is quick off the ball, and sometimes he's just a little too quick.
A little bit of Brad Anderson in him.
First down and 10 at the 20-yard line for the visiting Bucks. Down 28-20, 7:21 on the clock. Shotgun formation. Holiday gets the snap. Looking, firing over the middle. It is caught at the 2, caught the 1, touchdown. Touchdown. Jackson Holiday gets this one over the middle to number 3, Chris Baskin. Chris Baskin with his first touchdown of the game, his second catch. And that goes for 20 yards, and the Bucks are within 2.
Said before we started, Jackson Holiday, a guy that can light up the scoreboard. He's got a lot of touchdown passes on the year, and that one was in particular was very impressive. Rolling out to his left, fired across his body with the right hand away from him, and that's just very difficult to do on the run.
They'll go for 2. Woodley comes in as the tailback. 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Holiday. Statue of Liberty play is loose. It's a fumble. It's a fumble, and it's no good. So 2-point conversion, no good, and the Patriots keep the lead. 28-26. Take a timeout. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football exclusively on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence.
Back to live coverage of Bob Jones Football on The Ump.
Bob Jones leads 28-26 with 7:14 to go here in quarter number 3. Buckhorn answers Bob Jones's touchdown of the second half with one of their own. 2-point conversion, no good. Now Bo Murdoch sends this one high over the right side. He'll be caught by Makai Stewart at the 25. He comes back forward to the third, to the left side, to the 32 is where he'll be finally stopped. They'll give him the 33, actually. So it'll be a first down and 10. Boy, he could have let that one jump fall out of bounds, too. I mean, he was just barely still in bounds.
That's a moment where you gotta be thinking. You gotta be thinking and know where you are at all times. Self-awareness is really, really important in this game of football.
Well, he didn't leave it to chance, just in case it did bounce back in. We've seen some funny hops and some funny bounces on fumbles tonight and on kickoffs tonight too. First down and 10 for the Patriots. Brad Anderson split to the right side. So is Makai Stewart, DeMontrez Brown all by himself on the near side. One-on-one coverage won't matter. Jalen Williams cuts inside, now cuts back outside, spins around to the 40-yard line. He got 8, actually 7. He got 7. I'm not sure how he got 1. That play was designed to go to the right off the right guard. He came all the way back behind Mac Reagan and Kendall Randolph on the left side. He gets 7 very eventful yards.
Great vision and great patience there by Juicy, turning nothing into something.
Quick pop to Makai Stewart, comes in motion to the 40, the 45, popped out of bounds at the 47, make it the 48-yard line, a gain of 8, but a first down for the Patriots.
Well, Ignat got himself a lick, and he's gotten a couple of licks in tonight, but I'll tell you what, Bob Jones' offensive line has done a lights-out job of keeping his effect of the game as minimal as possible. Just one tackle for loss on the night.
First and 10 at the 48th, Patriots with the first down. 2 touches for Makai Stewart this half, both runs for 26 total yards. Patriots on the near hash mark, put 3 receivers to the right. Buckhorn with 3 down linemen showing 1 blitz on the right side. They'll bring that blitz. Quick handoff goes right to that blitz. Jalen Williams to the 45, to the 44, to the 43-yard line. Ball is on the ground.
And look at Kendall Randolph just taking the quarterback, driving him upfield.
And Kendall Randolph is hurt there. Looks like he may have a cramp on his right leg. As you're right, Kendall Randolph way down the field inside the 30, driving the cornerback. That's good offensive line play. May have strained himself a little bit with a cramp there. Doesn't seem to be serious. He was holding up there trying to get that right toe bent up. Regardless, it's a 9-yard carry for Jalen Williams that goes inside Buckhorn territory to the 43-yard line. And he's now got his third carry of the second half.
Worth mentioning, all plays on this drive have gone to that left side with Kendall and Mac, and they have been road grading these guys so far the last couple of quarters.
Kendall Randolph, the Alabama commit, of course. It's a 4- or 5-star kid, depending on what service you are looking at. Big offensive lineman. He's got a big arm, too. He actually, every day before practice and in warm-ups here, he'll just start throwing 35-yard out routes to the end zone. Just throwing them for fun while he's in warm-ups. It's a great kid, too. Really matured this season, the coaching staff has said. He's become a real leader.
Sophomore Colby Morrell will take over for him. He's a 5'11", 230-pound sophomore there at left tackle.
Second down and one. Brad Anderson, the tailback. They'll give it to him, those side. He'll get to the 40, inside the 40, to the 35, to the 34-yard line. That's an 8-yard carry. My goodness, that's some tough mudding there from the guy you don't expect the tough mudding from.
He plays so much bigger than he is, but that speed right out of the gate. I mean, it's hard to stop a guy when he's really got that full head of steam. And, of course, Brad Anderson being a smaller guy, that center of gravity is key.
Bob Jones up 28-26, 5:55 on the clock here in quarter number three. Isaiah Hatchett now in, seeing, I think, maybe this is second play. So, Jalen Williams, the tailback, Cameron Cobb Williams is someone we should see at some point here in front of the coaches. Brady Paulson pump fires to Brad Anders, excuse me, to Demontrezl Brown. It's incomplete. Well underthrown. He had his man, but he had to go over a linebacker and underneath the safety and just a little underthrown. As, again, that matchup is happening all night. 6'2 Demontrezl Brown against 5'9 Quincy Coleman.
If he hits him for a couple of other big passes, Demontrezl is going over 200 yards for the first time this season.
He's at 132, 138, 7 actually so far. Two receivers left, one to the right. Gets the snap, quick throw to Demontrezl Brown at 35, 4 to the 30, 4 to the 29. See where they mark him out. Looks like it's close to the 30, and that's where it will be, so the 30-yard line. So begin at 3 instead. 3 yards for Demontrezl. He'll be third down and 7. Got to get just outside the 23-yard line for a first down.
Sounds like Mekhi Stewart time.
Patriots have Jalen Williams as their tailback. On the near hash mark, they are with three receivers left and one right. Polson, pump fakes, flushed out of the pocket, fires, incomplete. Great opportunity there for Will Ignat and company to come with the pressure. Will Ignat with the pressure, so was number 35, Peyton Wilson. In on the pressure, makes it fourth down and 7.
Bob Jones has gone for it every single time in this situation, and looks like it will be no different. Polson lining up in the back, juicy behind him.
Fourth down, the Patriots will go for it at the 30-yard line. Got to get inside the 24. Brady Polson splits his receivers either side. Jalen Williams comes up to the right of his quarterback, 5:39 on the clock. Patriots up by 2. Bob Jones looks. Patriots go over the middle. Caught by Brad Anderson. Makes a man miss to the 12, the 11, to the 10. He keeps spinning. He is down at the 12-yard line. That's a gain of 18. You need 6. You get 18. That's not bad.
Brad Anderson is doing it all tonight. That's already his 5th catch on the night, I believe. And, I mean, he's doing it all for the Patriots tonight, getting it in, the senior showing his multiple ability. I mean, this guy can do just about everything, and he almost broke a couple more ankles on that play.
5th catch for 55 yards for Mr. Anderson, and now Isaiah Hatchett comes on as the lone tailback. Jalen Williams in as a fullback to hand off to Hatchett, left side, looking to spread it inside the 10 to the 6-yard line. maybe the 7. Where will they spot that? A little hard to see with all the bodies over there. Looks like it's at the 6-yard line. So make that a 6-yard carry.
Hatchett,
for Isaiah biggest, Hatchett.
Hatchett, our biggest running back, biggest body back there, tallest guy as well there in the backfield. And whenever you see him, most likely Bob Jones is running that power, and they've been moving once again on that left side.
Kendall Randolph and Mack Reagan just anchoring it down the left side. Behind them goes Jalen Williams for the block. Isaiah Hatchett hit right at the line of scrimmage. Another big tackle there for the Buckhorn Bucks. And that's number 44. We called his name a couple times. Aaron Zawacki with the tackle. It'll be third down and a long 4.
Looked like he kind of slipped on that one. He went down just a little bit too easy. That's not like Isaiah.
So the clock ticks under 4 minutes to go here in the third quarter. The Patriots with a 28-26 lead. Looking to add on to it. Demontrez Brown near side as the lone receiver to the left of Polson. 3 receivers to that wide side. Freddie Polson, quarterback keeper left side, to the 5, to the 1. Inside the pylon, touchdown, late Cobb, it counts. Brady Polson using the legs, I'm not sure we even knew he had. I thought he was all arm.
He doesn't always use it, but he's a big body type of dude as well, and a guy who can elude pressure and showed a little power there, lowered his shoulder and forced the issue, but we do have a flag, unfortunately, so let's see what that is.
So flag thrown on the near side. We'll see what the call is. The officials are pointing right at the pylon. Interesting to see the flag thrown at the 2-yard line. We'll await the call. The Patriots have their extra point team on. Looks like that may stay as we wait the official's call. Head coach Kevin Rose is talking to the official. Looks like they may be giving some indications whether or not they want to take the – or whether they will take the penalty on the kickoff. Not really sure at this point. The extra point team is on. So as it is for Buckhorn. No one seems to think that this may get called back. But Kevin Rose is making a case with the head official. As it stands, it's a 6-yard touchdown run from Brady Polson with the flag pending right now from Madison City School Stadium. This Region 4 matchup between the Buckhorn Bucks, who took a 20-0 lead before the Patriots went for 28 straight. Still awaiting the call. Looks like it is against Bob Jones, but looks like it may... Well, actually, who even knows at this point? Getting no signal. Bob Jones looks like they may be moving back, perhaps, for an extra point. But the ball hasn't been moved. The Patriots just huddling back up. The officials are huddled up behind the Patriots' huddle.
Will they tack it on to the kicker?
The call is unsportsmanlike conduct against Buckhorn. Also unsportsmanlike conduct against Buckhorn. 2 of them. Touchdown is good. The penalties will be enforced on the kickoff. That kickoff could be from like the 5-yard line. That's going to be a short kick for Kowalski coming back up. Extra point is pending now for the Patriots.
Looks like Kowalski will get another chance to kick that ball into the end zone. He's already had one today. He just had to kick it 55 yards to find the end zone last time. Probably going to be less this time around. This would be an interesting time to try a 2-point conversion. You're up 8. Why not try to force it into a 2-score game?
Patriots still have the kicker on a Kowalski. Patriots are still huddled as the officials are still talking to coaches. John Halliday over there at Buckhorn in his first season. Finally being explained to him what happened. Extracurricular activity happened near the end of that play. We're ready for Kowalski's extra point attempt. The most eventful one in a while. Snaps good. Hold is good. Kick is up. Kick, as Kevin Rose immediately said, is good. So the Patriots take a 35-26 lead with 4:28 to go here in quarter number 3. You're listening to the Bob Jones Patriots on WUMP, exclusively brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Now back to Bob Jones Football on the Ump.
Back live here to Madison, Alabama, as we get set for the kickoff. After Bob Jones gets a 6-yard quarterback keeper from Brady Paulson, he runs over that left side of the line, which they've trusted a lot tonight with Kendall Randolph being back in. And the Patriots will set off the kick on the Buckhorn 30-yard line.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before.
Well, Buckhorn will get set to kick, or set to receive this kick. 30-yard line is going to be pretty easy to kick this one through the back of the end zone, and they won't. They'll actually kick it short, and it is going to be caught short. It's tried to force another quick turnover, but they couldn't, as it's picked up by number 17, Cameron Jolly. But the good news is the field position is even worse than if it went back to the back of the end zone. It's back at the 12-yard line.
Yeah, it actually worked out for the defense. This is their best starting position of the entire game so far. And so after a completely disastrous first quarter, Bob Jones, 5 touchdown drives out of the last 6.
Just wild, the swinging momentum we've seen in this game. Buckhorn needs points here. Quick handoff underneath goes to the 14, the 15, as Woodley able to spin forward to the 15-yard line. It's a gain of 3. Trey Langford there with the tackle.
And Mac Reagan blew the whole play up, enabled Langford to make a play on the ball, but he's grabbing his right wrist now, and he's out of the game.
Be second down and let's say a long 7 for the Bucs as they put 2 receivers to the right, 2 to the left. Still 3:55 on the clock. A lot of time left in this game as the Patriots' lead is only 9. Holiday, quick handoff. It's going to go to the left side, and he is stuffed at the line of scrimmage. Woodley again. We have not seen Matthew Evans this second half. I'm not sure if there is an injury we don't know about, but we have not seen the guy who's got 2 of the 4 touchdowns this evening in the second half.
So far, the run game is suffering because of it.
Third down and 8 for the Patriots defense. 3 down linemen. Cade Kohler changing some things defensively, changing where he's going to blitz. Trey Langford coming up. Jay Hawthorne showing some blitz, too. There's some confusion. 7 seconds, 6 seconds on the play clock. Holiday looks for the snap. Gets it with 4 seconds on the play clock. Throws near to Woodley. Cuts inside to the 15, to the 20, to the 22, the 23. Close to the 24. That's close to a first down. And it looks like they're going to give him the first down as they are moving the chains. And he needed 8. He got 8.5.
After all that showing blitz, it ended up being DJ Butler going there on the coming around on the right side. Unfortunately, the play went completely opposite of him, and that side of the field was cleared out.
Buckhorn at the near side, still with 4 receivers, under 3 on the clock. Jackson Holiday waits for a man to come in motion. At least he's signaling for him, too. Now he looks back, changes the line, the play of the line of scrimmage. Woodley changes sides of his quarterback. Gets the snap and shotgun. Looks left, fires left, fires deep left. Bob Jones has a man there, and it is incomplete. There are 2 red jerseys closer to that, including Jay Hawthorne, and it looks like it's Jaden Hill back there again, who has had a terrific evening. One Buck may have been able to make a play had he had a shot. It was Kendrick Johnson, but just not enough.
Yeah, Jackson Holiday putting a little bit too much air under that, and if he had put a little bit more, it was going to be our guy Jaden Hill settling up under it for an interception.
4 receivers to set up again. Patriots, they'll send pressure. Flushes him out of the pocket. Near side to Woodley to the 30, to the 35, where he'll be stopped to the 36, falling forward. It's enough for a first down. Has good pocket presence there for Jackson Holiday, who was able to move up in the pocket and give himself a chance. That's a gain of 11.
So after 2 good plays in the last 2 series, third down continuing to be a problem for Bob Jones.
They'll set up the 4 receivers again. Johnson's to the near side. To the far side is number 3. Excuse me, number 8, Marks. We've seen a lot of tonight. Baskin's up there, too. Quick handoff to Holiday and nothing. The Woodley stopped at the line of scrimmage. Cade Kohler underneath getting another tackle.
team leading seventh of the night.
Coming into the night, second on the team in tackles behind Jay Hawthorne, but quickly making an effort for that first place spot. Buckhorn finally switches their formation with four receivers to the left. They'll send sort of an option play, toss out the left side. Willie's got space to the 50. He gets pushed out of bounds at the 46-yard line. Give him the 47. It's another first down for the Buckhorn Bucks as they continue to move the chains.
D.J. Butler almost had a chance for his first tackle for loss of the night. He got juked straight up. Got left looking at his shoes there. And another first down for Buckhorn in a situation where they had to make up some yards.
In Bob Jones territory, the Bucks come. Far side on the far hash mark they set up. Holiday sets the throw. Fires over the middle. It is incomplete. Incomplete. Cade Kohler there on the hit. Buckhorn arguing that they wanted the catch, that Kenneth Allison was able to catch it. The far side official says no. The road team, their fans, who Buckhorn brought a great fan base in tonight, they are not happy about that call, but the home team tries to drown them out. Second down and 10 with 1:28 on the clock.
No chance here for Bob Jones. Second and long.
Baskin comes in motion. Quick screen pass left side. It's incomplete. Incomplete screen pass. As there was a little bit of room there for number 24, Matthew Abbott, we're now seeing for the first time in the second half.
He looked a little rusty on that play.
So it's third down and 10. From the 48, two receivers left, two to the right for the Bucks. 1:24 on the clock. Jackson Holiday shotgun. Steps back, looks. Now he's going to be flushed out of the pocket. Looks left side. Looks to get toward the first down marker. Gets to the 47. That's a gain of 8. That'll be short. But clearly within striking distance for this offense. It'll be short by about 2 yards. Looks like Cade Kohler again on the force out over there on that far sideline.
Third time on this drive, Bob Jones has had an opportunity with forcing a third and long, and they are allowing Holiday time and time again to break contain. It gives them a fourth and makeable here.
Fourth down and 2. Holiday looks to change the play from the sideline. Two receivers on either side. Far hash mark. Holiday gets it. Fires near side. It's almost intercepted. It was right at the hands of Khalil Griffin, who was almost surprised and went right at him. They were looking for Garrett Marks, the junior receiver, but he did not see number 18, who was just making his appearance on the team 3 games ago.
And already with 6 tackles on the night and now a pass deflection, he is making a significant difference, especially in the secondary.
After that first game, I asked Coach Rose, we're going to see more of 18? He said, what do you think? This is why you see guys earned his way onto the team.
So Bob Jones forcing another turnover on downs. I believe that's the third of the night.
From their own 40-yard line, the Patriots will put 4 receivers, 2 either side, Brian Anderson in the near slot. Montrezl Brown comes in motion. Do they toss it to him? They won't. They'll give it to Jalen Williams looking for some kind of room. He's got nothing. He loses two.
Yeah, poor timing on that one. Demontrez came a little bit late on that one. Cut off the running back's run there. It's unfortunate because it's something that you just don't want to happen. It's something that could be turned over very quickly. But now a second and long for Brady Polson.
Second and 12 for the Patriots. 42 seconds and counting on the clock. One receiver to the right, wide side, 3 to the near. Polson, quick throw to Makai Stewart. He's got it in some room to the 40, to the 45, trying to outrace a couple bucks. He can't get shoved out of bounds at the 49.
But that'll be good enough for a first down.
Good enough for a first down. That's a gain of 13 for Brady Polson. 2 of Makai Stewart. His first catch since the first half. First down in Buckhorn territory with 25 seconds on the clock.
Montrezl Brown now drawing coverage from Quincy Coleman, senior cornerback. He's playing up right on him.
Anderson comes in motion. He gets the toss to the 50, looking for space to the 46. To the 46 is where he goes. Three. He is just methodical when he's trying to find that space. You can tell that he's just searching, scanning, scanning. He's like the Terminator. He just sort of looks, scans, scans, and tries to find a little bit of crease. And a lot of times he does find it. That time he was able to take a one-yard gain, get a couple more to three.
The only thing he's missing is the shoulder missiles.
That is how we will end the third quarter. Bob Jones, 35. Buckhorn, 26. Come on back. Got the fourth quarter coming for you next. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football exclusively on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. You'll love us around your place.
Back to the booth we go with Arky Shea and Seth Hagan. Bob Jones Football is on The Ump.
Well, welcome you back into beautiful Madison, Alabama, where it is a cool, comfortable, good football night. 55 degrees is the temperature. It was 59 to start the game. And right now, both teams are in a pretty good battle, and I think they're pretty darn happy to not have a game that it's 70 degrees, 80 degrees, and 94% humidity. Snap comes to Jalen Williams. He gets to the 45. Pushes forward to the 42. That was huge. It's a 5-yard carry. It looked like he had maybe a yard. Nope. Good, tough mudding. That was Brad Anderson that got that. I thought Jalen Williams was in. He was in there blocking right in front of him.
He just continues to churn his legs. And of course, the offensive line is going to continue to roll that pile. I mean, Bob Jones has been, ever since the second quarter, they have been ruling the line of scrimmage both on offense and defense.
Third down and two for the Patriots. Four down territory here, I wouldn't mind saying, especially if they can just keep going forward. Freddie Paulson wants to keep it left side. Boy, is he hit. He is laid out at the 42-yard line.
And there was
that young man, Aaron Zawacki, is all over the field defensively, and that'll make it a fourth down and two.
Brady got zawacked.
Freddie Paulson's going to wish he didn't make that decision. Holy smokes, that was a hit.
All right, so fourth and short. Coach Rose keeping his guys out there.
10:50 on the clock and counting. Brad Anderson, the tailback. Four receivers set up, two to the right side. Buckhorn looking to bring pressure. A three-man front, but three linebackers staring right into those gaps. Will Ignat being one of them, so is the Wacky. A lot of big hits tonight. Hand off to Anderson. Left side, he's upended. No, nothing. Nothing there for Brad Anderson. And has a turnover on downs and a big stop. As the Bucks have a player down right underneath that pile.
I believe it was the guy who cut Brad's legs out from under him.
Well, he took an awkward hit.
Maybe in need of the helmet.
Over on that far side, just outside the hash marks. It's a turnover on downs as Brad Anderson was upended right at that. He gained literally nothing. His team is going to give him a much-deserved pat on the back. Maybe not a pound on the head at this point. But they are glad that guy's part of their team. They got right underneath for a huge, huge effort. And he's limping off on his own power. That's good to see from Nicky Rivers. 5'8", 130 making that play. Boy, they talk about leverage, man. It's all about that leverage. And he got underneath and he stopped him. So Buckhorn will come back at their own 41-yard line, trailing by 9 with 10:30 to go on the clock. At last checked, James Clemens led Hewitt Trustful 20-14 at the half. Now it's 20-14 at the start of the fourth. Buckhorn, three receivers right side. Holiday looks, fires over the middle. It is barely held on to. What a great catch. Oh, he actually dropped him once he fell to the ground. That was close. As they were looking for Johnson, who has been a huge target for the visiting team this entire night.
Right, that's his first drop of the night.
Be second down and 10. The scenarios are like this. Bob Jones has to do their work, get the win tonight. They're in good shape right now as they play on defense up 9. They have to have, for this scenario to work out, Gaston City to beat Huntsville, which they were up 42-0 in the second at one point. That's looking okay. And they had to have Hewitt Trustful beat James Clemens to force a three-way tie. Jackson Holiday looks to pass, deflected, buttoned down by DJ Butler. Big paw there for number 5. Pass deflected for DJ, and the Patriots force a third down and 10.
Can't understate how big of a stop this would be right after Buckhorn got a big stop on fourth down, forcing into a third and long once again. And we've already mentioned in third and long situations, you got to keep an eye on Jackson Holliday.
I cannot get over seeing Big Mac Reagan as a nose tackle. It is just something so different to see from nine games to this week. Holliday pump fakes, being chased by Butler, sacked. Sacked by Butler. He gets the deflection. Now he gets the sack all the way back at the 34-yard line. Fourth down and really, really long. It'll be about fourth down and 20. And Buckhorn, I'd be pretty surprised if they decided to go for it here.
So DJ Butler with two massive plays back-to-back, and that one for his team-leading 10th tackle for loss.
Brad Anderson gone to return the kick. Bob Jones looks like they're playing fairly safe. Don't want to give up a big play here. Up 9 with 9:33 to go. Buckhorn changes their formation for the punt, bringing a little more protection. Jay Hawthorne has blocked 3 this year. Snap comes. A little high, a little slow, but it gets out. Good punt to the right side. That one will bounce out of bounds. Inside the 30, just outside the 25. They'll call it the 27-yard line for the Patriots to come back on offensively. Took a few minutes off the clock last drive. Forced out on downs. And now with 9:17 to go, Kevin Rose would like nothing else but to be able to take some time off the clock and put more points on the board.
Absolutely. One more touchdown, you could really put this game away. You'd be up 16 at that point. And it would take an extraordinary comeback.
Good news for Bob Jones is they are off next week. We will have no broadcast next week. Bob Jones taking their off week in week 11 of the season.
A long-awaited off week.
Long-awaited. A bunch of teams have gotten their off weeks before the Patriots. Quick handoff goes to Bob Jones. Looks like that's Williams over the left side. He loses a couple.
A little extracurricular activity there on the side.
Yeah, Will Ignat in on the carry, and on the tackle, I should say, for Buckhorn.
It looked like Mikhail Stewart and Zawacki. Boy, that's a great name.
Zawacki's a cornbread tough guy. 6'2", 210, senior, a leader on this team. Makes just about every tackle you could want. And it looks like there's someone down on that far sideline in on the Buckhorn side.
Like I said,
looks like it's going to be Buckhorn, one of the Buckhorn's players. Bob Jones has all 11 of theirs looking all right. So as we talk about the scenarios for Bob Jones, looks like this. Bob Jones is already in the playoffs, as we've mentioned. They need a win to even start the situation for a three-way tie. He had to play the likelihood to be able to get that second seed. Gadsden City will have a big reach and victory against Huntsville tonight. And then you need James Clemens to lose to Hewitt-Trussville. Because Gadsden City owns the tiebreaker over Bob Jones, but if you get into a three-way tie, then you have Bob Jones, who has beaten James Clemens. James Clemens, who has beaten Gadsden City. And you have just Gadsden City beat Bob Jones. So there's this three-way tie that would go eventually to the most victories by defeated opponents. And Bob Jones would want also Austin to beat James Clemens next week. Because James Clemens, you don't want them to get credit for Austin's victory. And Austin's a really good team in 6A. This team, I think, is 6-2 coming into tonight. They're battling for their region championship. Austin and Decatur having just phenomenal seasons over at Ogle Stadium, both battling for first place in that region. Hewitt-Trussville apparently just turned the ball over on downs with 3 minutes left to go, still trailing 20-14.
Fourth such turnover of the game.
So if that becomes the case, if Hewitt-Trussville falls 20-14, all these scenarios are moot. Bob Jones will be the 4 seed and go for 2 weeks. Hoover's the only team coming in tonight in 7A. Had clinched its spot in 7A. Everybody else was up for debate.
They've been running through their division. Only loss on the year was when they went to Texas, I believe, in the second week of the season.
9 minutes still to go as a player still being attended to over on that far side.
Whether your style is high and tight or long and loose, we've got
actually, you know, upon further discovery, it may not even have been a player. It could have been one of the people who was holding up the yard markers, getting a lot of players, and a lot of officials blocking us from that side. And now they're looking at the yard marker itself. Maybe the yard marker is broken. Looks like they're messing around with that. Man, this game's had a little bit of everything, hasn't it?
A little bit. Some things I have not seen ever before. This would qualify.
Want to remind you, tomorrow you can hear Alabama football as you can every single Saturday during the football season as they'll take on the Texas A&M Aggies. Pregame coverage starts at 11:30, right after the sports flood that goes from 9 to 11. Alabama-Texas A&M kicks off at 2:30. Pregame coverage starts at 11:30. And, of course, your home of the NFL, the quadruple header this weekend, will be happening exclusively on the Ump, starting at 8 a.m. on Sunday. So all-day football, Saturday and Sunday for you right here on the Ump. And don't forget, your home of Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Hey Coach, the Nick Saban Show, the Crimson Tide Rewind, the Mike Bellarkey Show for the Tennessee Titans, all are on WUMP.
You know Alabama's favored by as many as 19 points now?
Feels like a lot of points to favor the team by.
That's amazing.
In a situation
almost
like that.
Almost a top five matchup, and we're talking three touchdowns here.
You know, Seth, the more I look at this, the more it looks less like an injury and looks like a down marker. It's just broken. Because it looks like there are
like,
two.
Oh, they're tending to somebody.
It looks like there's two people giving CPR to the down marker.
It's not whom, it's it.
Boy, it's strange because Will Ignat made the tackle before they got into the down marker. I'm not sure if there was some rolling around that eventually got into it, but that was well short of the marker going out of bounds. Oh, hey, the down marker is up.
Oh, what, no standing ovation?
Down marker looks all right. Yeah, no respect from the fans here for a marker that has been down for like 5 or 6 minutes.
They have feelings, too.
Bob Jones will have the ball second down and 12 when they start. With 9 minutes to go, they have a 9-point lead, 35-26. As the Patriots' offense has been pretty lethal since the second quarter. That first quarter was a bit of a disaster for the Patriots, but they fought back 28 straight points to take the lead 28-20. Buckhorn answers the first touchdown for the Patriots in the third quarter with one of their own. Misses a 2-point conversion. Bob Jones scores 7, and that's where we're at. 35-26, and now we're ready to play. Good to see the marker back up. Patriots have three receivers to the right, one to the left. And the one tailback, Jalen Williams, gets the carry. Some space to the 34, to the 35. He almost gets. Looks like there's a lot more room than what he ended up with. That ends up being an 8-yard carry.
Second 8-yard carry of the night for Juicy. Good to see him back in there. His yards have been hard to come by tonight, but he has continued to plow through and got to give it up for that offensive line. They've been slowly grinding down this front seven for Buckhorn.
Third down and 4. Final score, Gadsden City beats Huntsville 48-21. So Bob Jones loses the tiebreaker to Gadsden City if it becomes just between Gadsden City and Bob Jones for the 3 seed. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Polson, quick fires left side. Scott Brown to the 45, not to the 45, to the 50, to the 45. Foot racy out there to the 41-yard line.
If you can't ankle tackle Brad Anderson, you sure as heck are not going to ankle tackle Demontrez Brown. Quickly shoves the cornerback to the side there. Easy, big yards.
23, actually, yards.
He's up over a buck 50 for the day.
163 and a touchdown for Demontrez. Under 8 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. The Patriots trying to salt away this game. Cameron Caba-Williams now on. He's on the far side. Near side is Sam Barnes, and the slot is Mekhi Stewart. He comes in motion. He'll go hand off instead. Not to him, but to one of his cohorts who's gotten a brunt of the carries, which we haven't seen him get a brunt of the carries in a while. Is number 24, Brad Anderson. He gets a yard on that one.
Brad had 83 total yards in the first half, and he's continued to work it. Not as many scores in the second half, but Bob Jones has become more and more methodical with each drive. And now with them in Buckhorn territory, that now marks seven straight drives into opponent's territory.
Brad Anderson with his 16th carry of the game, his most in five games. Quick throw near side of Mekhi Stewart on a little outlet pass. Goes to the 40. The 35 bowls over his defender number 17, Cameron Jolly. Again, side to the 35 to the 34-yard line. That's another 8-yard catch. And Mekhi Stewart with another catch on the night.
The perimeter has been money all day for the Patriots. Every single time they sling that thing out there, 7-8 yards minimum.
Right, six now. Catches, 81 yards for the senior.
Secondary just too thin. I mean, we're talking guys who are 5'7", 5'8", at the tallest.
Third down and one for the Patriots. Clock at 6:30. Brad Anderson, the lone tailback. To the right, Jalen Williams in the backfield as a blocking lineman. Doesn't matter. Goes to Demontrez Brown, who's coming in motion. He pulls forward to the 25 to the 23-yard line. That's a gain of 10. Holy smokes. That guy, whenever he gets to the edge, he is a load to take down.
He's been dealing punishment all night. And you can just tell the hands on the hips a lot for the Buckhorn front seven. They're tired of running into that guy.
This is something we've seen from the Patriots in their two losses. Hands on the hips, tired of having to go against the dominant downfield running game. And Bob Jones hasn't even been dominant down the field. They did what you would hope they would do, which is stretch out this Buckhorn defense, make them run sideline to sideline a lot. As Brad Anderson gets the carry, goes up the middle, bowling over another defender again. Whoo!
It's really starting to show now. That's the biggest play that they've had up the middle. I mean, once you start slicing and dicing the team up the middle.
8 yards for Brad Anderson, another one. Yeah, these guys are not wanting to take these tackles on right now, and the Patriots are feeling it. So early on, they stretched out the plays, throwing it to the left, throwing it to the right, running it to the left, running it to the right, trying to get to the perimeter, and they've tired down this Bucs defense. It's a great game plan by Kevin Rose and company.
Kendall Randolph is motioning the coach to hurry up and get that call out there. He smells blood in the water.
5:38 on the clock. One tailback, split those receivers, one either side. Brad Anderson, right side, 10, scooch to the 7, and that's where we'll be upended by Will Ignat. Not going to get a lot of juke moves on Will Ignat.
Not with that wingspan he's got. I mean, that's a big, big dude. But Brad almost got him. He almost got him.
Now the Patriots first down. There goes to the 7-yard line.
Six out of the last seven drives have ended in the red zone for the Patriots.
First and goal for Bob Jones. 13, now 12 on the clock itself before the Patriots finally go up to the line. This could be a dagger right now for the Patriots if they can score. Brad Anderson, hand off to him, to the 5, to the 2, to the end zone. Touchdown, Brad Jones. That's the dagger. 7 yards out, and the Bob Jones Patriots have taken a 41-26 lead. 5 minutes and 1 second to go here in the fourth quarter.
Third rushing touchdown for Brad Anderson, and I mean, same as he's been doing this entire second half. Just so fast, right out of the gate, and I mean, it's tough to hang with a guy who's still got that much juice in the fourth quarter when that offensive line has been grinding him.
Bob Jones, look like they're going for two. Try to make this a 17-point lead. Would still be two possessions if they just went for the extra point and got it. So Demontrez Brown and Sam Barnes stack up on the left side. Brad Anderson, who has been the workhorse tonight, to the right. Polson rolls right. Looks to throw back over to his left to Mekhi Stewart. Wide open end zone. It is good. Two-point conversion is good, and the Patriots have taking a full three-score lead, 43-26, with 5:01 to go here in quarter number four.
They stuck well, the guy out there across the formation, and he was wide open. Perfect play. just like looked a little bit like the Philip Lutzenkirchen play from the 2010 Iron Bowl.
We'll take a quick timeout. Update from Hewitt Trustful and James Clemens as things get interesting. Coming up next, you're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football on the Ump.
Back to live coverage of Bob Jones Football on the Ump.
5 minutes and a second left here in the fourth quarter as the Patriots have taken a 43-26 lead, which seems fairly insurmountable at this point as the Patriots and Ian Karaski on to kick. This one's squibbed on the line and taken down at the 34-yard line, picked up and recovered by Seth Krista, the senior linebacker. So keep it updated, Hewitt Trustful scored a touchdown with 20 seconds left. They were down 20-14. They made it 20-20. The extra point is pending. James Clemens has called a timeout before the point after touchdown.
You said 20 seconds to go in the game?
20 seconds left in the game. Hewitt Trustful has tied the game 20-20. Extra point is pending.
That would be a huge letdown for James Clemens. They really have dominated that game from the start.
Two left, two right for Jackson Holliday, who throws it as incomplete. I'm surprised there's no flag because Kenneth Allison was all kinds of held, and I don't mind being a homer, but, man, it looked like they were playing more than just patty cake. It'll be second down and 10.
Worth mentioning, four passes deflected tonight by the Bob Jones secondary.
Holliday gets the snap. The senior looks. He is sacked. He'll actually gain a yard, but he's going to be tackled, and the sack I want to give the credit for by the Bob Jones Patriots. Gavin Lewis there, and also their number 99, Talik Kierton. So third down and 9, 4.5 to go for the Buckhorn Bucks. Holliday looking, scrambling, firing, and it is incomplete. Dallin Woodley had his hands on that one but dropped it.
Holliday took a big hit from DJ Butler after that one.
Fourth down and 9, and Buckhorn looks like they're in position to go for it. Before 19 to go, up down 17. 20 seconds to go. James Clemens and Hewitt Trustful has hit the extra point. They lead 21-20 with 20 seconds to go down in Hewitt. Hewitt looking to claim their first region championship under Josh Floyd and company for the Huskies and cap the first ever undefeated season in school history. It looked like they're 20 seconds away from doing that in Hewitt. Holliday looks, throws over the middle. It is incomplete. Behind his intended receiver, Matthew Evans, who we've seen scantly this second half. But a turnover downs, and the Patriots will get it. Actually, the little delay. Is there a flag late? No, there's holding on Buckhorn. There's holding on Buckhorn. They will decline that one. But obviously, and the Bob Jones will take over at the 35-yard line of Buckhorn.
Pretty amazing how this game's gone. Started out, Buckhorn just jumped all over the Patriots, up 20-0. Since then, Patriots 43, Bucks 6. That'll do it.
Starters come back out there to try to ice the final 4 minutes and 13 of this game. Also, score update, Sparkman able to beat Grissom tonight, 42-0. Nice way for Sparkman to end their season. Timeout called by Buckhorn, it looks like. First down and 10 will be for the Bucks. Defensively, offensively, the Patriots will be up. So right now, if this score holds on for Hewitt Trustful, then Bob Jones needs Austin to beat James Clemens next week. Gaston City is done after tonight. Buckhorn will play North Jackson next week at North Jackson, who is a really good football team, but it would help obviously Bob Jones if Buckhorn beat North Jackson, because they could count those wins in the tiebreaker.
No doubt.
But if Austin beats James Clemens, then James Clemens can't count Austin's wins. So, for example, if James Clemens beats Austin, how many ever wins Austin got, James Clemens would get credit for that number of teams that James that Austin defeated, as far as its total number of defeated teams, which would be one of the tiebreakers that would determine whether or not the Patriots get to host in 2 weeks. Quick handoff goes right side. It is about half a yard on the carry there for Jalen Williams.
I run
Jalen Williams. Be second down and 9 as we run under 4 minutes to go. 21-20 is a final. So Hewitt Trustful has completed an undefeated season, has beaten James Clemens for the region championship, and now the three-way tiebreaker is in play. And that is good news for Bob Jones Patriots fans to hear, because Bob Jones will be off next week, and they'll be rooting hard for the Austin Black Bears.
And I'll actually be in the house for that one. It's the Raycom Game of the Week, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that matchup.
Isaiah Hatcher with the handoff goes inside the 25 to the 24-yard line. He needed 9. He got 10. First down for the Patriots. So we first down and 10 for the Patriots. Still with the offensive line on, with Tucker Walters, the right guard, the right tackle, Ethan Ganoush, the Grissom transfer. Man, it had to feel so good to beat Grissom last week for him.
Certainly. It justifies the move, honestly. I mean, Will Ignott was in a similar situation. He almost went to a prep school in Florida, but ended up returning and playing for his team. And honestly, I mean, he's had an incredible season. One to be proud of.
Quick handoff goes to Hatchett. He goes up the left side, gets another 1, maybe 2. Caleb Lawson, the center for Bob Jones, who is just a junior himself at 6'1", 255. And on the left side, have guys like Mac Reagan and Kendall Randolph. Now, the bad news for them, and this is obviously long-term, but both those guys are seniors. Kevin Rose talked about before this season that by the end of the year, Bob Jones will have the most experienced offensive line in the state as far as number of starts. And it's starting to show down the stretch here. You hope that continues at the playoffs near. Quick handoff goes to Jalen Williams, right side to the 20, to the 18, to the 17. He spins forward. It's a gain of 5. Jalen Williams gets 5 on that one. Oh, you did? Good. I said that on the air. Writing down the number of yards that Jalen Williams got. So Seth took care of that for me. So it'll be second down. Actually, third down. Actually, there's a flag on the field, is there? There is not any quick movement to change anything, but it looks like there will be personal foul against Bob Jones. So they'll move that back. So at 5 yards, won't mean much right now.
And lose the down, so third and 10 plus.
2 minutes and 3 seconds remain.
Couple of new guys out there for the Patriots. Number 85, Wesley Burcham, 5'10 wide receiver.
I tweeted out a photograph of Bob Jones kicking the kickoff from the 30-yard line of Buckhorn. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at Arky Shea. And ya_boy_Maddie tweets, I never got that lucky in all my years. He's a Middle Tennessee kicker who was Bob Jones' kicker last season. It's true. I watched all year. He never got the kick from the 30. He never got to kick from the opposing team's 30-yard line.
I mean, at that point, like, wouldn't you just try to kick a field goal?
If you can make it count. I want that to be for 3, sir. So as we get the ball set back up to play at the 32-yard line, it'll be third down and 20. Quick handoff to Hatchett. Space to the 25, but that's about it. 7 yards on the carry, make it fourth down and a little more manageable at 13 as the clock's under 90 seconds.
30 passes for Brady Folsom on the night. He had 23 in the first half. They slowed it down considerably when the running game really got going. And honestly, that's what's so encouraging about the second half is that Brady handled things in the second quarter, helped bring the team back, and the run game finished things off. It's such a great way to head into the postseason with both sides of the ball working so well.
Under a minute now on the clock, Brady Polson comes up. 2 seconds, 1 second snap. Now hands off to Jalen Williams. Looks to go wide just to try to make some time, get Kilt. Back to the line of scrimmage, and that's it. That is it of turnover on downs. The defense for Bob Jones will come back up all. A few second-teamers in, but mostly all starters. DJ Butler, Trey Langford, Jaden Hill, Mikael Stewart, A.J. Harris, who has been fairly quiet this season, which is actually not a bad thing. There's not a lot of players are able to attack A.J. Harris in that backfield. But Cade Kohler still on, Talik Cureton, Gavin Lewis. And Buckhorn will come out.
Gavin comes out.
With 48 seconds to go. Her team down 43-26.
Jamarcus Dale now in there, defensive end.
Jackson Holiday. Holiday gets the pass. The outlet goes right side. He gets to the 30 to the 32-yard line. 33 falling forward. So that's Allison. Sorry, that's Jalen Dixon, who started off the game with a 59-yard kick return that really set up Buckhorn in great position to manage the game the way they did. There's going to be a penalty on the field for against Bob Jones. Too many men on the field as that ball's deflected. Bob Jones had too many players on the field as they were trying to sprint one off to the near sideline. It just didn't do it in time. 16 seconds to go. Free yardage here for the Bucks. How interesting it is that this game at one point was 20-0 Buckhorn. It's 20-0 Buckhorn in the first quarter.
It's amazing. What's more amazing, they were up 20-0, or that Bob Jones finished off 43-6?
I would say the 43-6 because it helps our team.
Yeah.
But make 20-0 was such a blow to the momentum and blow to the psyche for Bob Jones. You thought that they may just roll over, but they showed the heart of this team. They showed the tenacity to be able to come back down 20-0 and to go 43-6 the rest of the way.
Like I said,
so what ended up happening? There were two penalties called. There were too many men on the field for Bob Jones. Actually, it looked like there may have been three. There's also holding called on Buckhorn, and there's also an offsides called on Bob Jones. Regardless, it's 5 yards up. Holiday rolls right, looking over the middle of the field, skips that one into Johnson. Oh, they're going to say he caught it? Wow, that is a terrible, terrible call.
At this point, just don't care.
2.9 seconds to go. Actually, they are going to call it incomplete. How about use the incomplete sign at referee? That's all I'm asking.
Guys are ready to run on the field.
It's 2.9 seconds to go. Stay tuned for the Bob Jones postgame show. We'll give you the numbers from tonight. We'll get you set up for next week, which is an off week, but what to expect from the Patriots going forward. What we know about the playoff race once we get to the break. Final play awaits, 2.9 seconds to go. Holiday looks, quick throws right side, incomplete. And that is your ball game. Final score here from Madison, Alabama. Bob Jones leads 43-26, and they win 43-26. An amazing 43-6 run to end the game. I did not expect that from this Bob Jones team after going down 20-0, but that is some serious heart. We'll come back, final scores, get you caught up from around the area, games that you need to know, and let you know what we know about the playoff race going forward. You're listening to Bob Jones Patriots Football exclusively on The Ump, brought to you by Tennessee Valley Fence. 3 minute timeout.
Now back to Bob Jones Football on The Ump.
Welcome back live into Madison City Schools Stadium, home of the Bob Jones Patriots, as the Patriots are victorious. Great news for the Patriots because they end the regular season on a two-game winning streak, and there is nothing sweeter than a victory in the fall. Bob Jones moves to 7-3 overall, which is a big deal. They also find their region record at 5-2, which is also a big deal as well, because now we get to play the game that we all want to play, tiebreaker scenarios. Bob Jones 5-2 in region, so does Gaston City go 5-2, and James Clemens, by losing to Hewitt Trustful tonight in what was a tremendous game, falls to 5-2. Hewitt Trustful, congratulations to them. First time in Region 4, they become region champions, and they snap the Bob Jones streak of 7 straight seasons, region championship, or at least they share of. Now we play the best game that we could possibly play. It's tiebreaker scenarios. We'll get to that in just a minute, but first I want to tell Mr. Seth Hagen that some of these merch tonight are looking outright stupid.
Quite.
Offensively, the Patriots had a great second quarter, also had a pretty darn good third quarter, and the fourth quarter they were able to quietly just salt this game away. Brady Polson goes 20 of 30 for 316 yards, 2 touchdowns. Oh, yeah, and added one with his legs, too, for 6 yards out. That is gives him 2 carries for 6 yards on the game. Anderson goes 19 carries, 154 yards. 19 carries is a career high, by the way. 150 yards, 3 touchdowns, gives him 12 on the season. 5 catches, another 55 yards, and a touchdown. Jalen Williams had just a wild game off and on. Demontrezz Brown goes 7 catches, 198 yards, and a touchdown. Isaiah Hatchett had 4 carries for 18 yards. Sam Barnes a catch for 7. So you look at these numbers for Bob Jones, and they were actually fairly balanced. In the first half, Bob Jones had just 12 carries to 23 passes, or 12 runs to 23 passes. Second half, balanced that a lot more, and looks like Bob Jones comes away with a pretty good team victory.
Yeah, it really ices the season on the offensive side of the ball, because at the very beginning of the year, it was either the quarterback won or the running game won. It wasn't a combination. And now I really feel like this team is a true dual threat through the air, on the run. And one of the biggest stats tonight, against that vaunted front seven of Buckhorn, not a single sack allowed by the most experienced offensive line in the state.
Now it goes to what's happening next week. Actually, let's go ahead and give our player of the game, who is Brady Polson, who is 20 of 30, 316, 2 touchdowns, and runs for 1 on his own. Brad Anderson made a pretty good play for him with getting 19 carries, 154 yards. But I'm going with my man Brady, who was also a player of the week for North Alabama when they took on Hewitt Trustful. Our drive of the game is very simple. It's the first drive of the second half. Remember, the Bob Jones Patriots came out, brought to you by Woody Anderson Ford. The Bob Jones Patriots came out, got the first points on the board to start the second half. Next thing you know, it's downhill running from there. Bob Jones put that drive of the game to go up 28-20, brought to you by Woody Anderson Ford, located on Hughes Road in Madison. So here are your scenarios for the final season and for the final week. Bob Jones is in a 3-way tie at 5-2 with region play with Gadsden City after they beat Huntsville and after James Clemens loses to Hewitt Trustful. Bob Jones has the victory over James Clemens. Gadsden City has the victory over Bob Jones. JC over Gadsden City. So now we go to a 3-way tie. Let me help you understand this. The 3-way tie ends up going to whichever team has the most total victories of teams they defeated. So, Austin, for example, if Austin beats James Clemens next week, it basically goes down to Bob Jones as the number 2 seed. When you get credit for teams you've defeated, that they defeated teams, which means Bob Jones gets credit for who they've beaten, but they get credit for who's Dorman has beaten out of South Carolina. They get credit for who James Clemens has beaten. All those total victories ends up being the tiebreaker. The most number of those victories of teams you've defeated and the teams that they've defeated ends up being the tiebreaker.
Wow.
A little complicated, but it's going to be fun. Basically, it looks like this. If Bob Jones wants this 2 seed, they need Austin to beat James Clemens next week. which is very, very, very possible. We've seen that Austin team earlier this season.
Yeah.
Very, very possible.
Very, very, a very, very pesky team.
Yep, yep. That's going to do it for us. We are out of time here. Next week, no game. We'll keep updated on Twitter, Ump Sports Twitter, as well. RK Shahir, Seth Hagen there. Have a great night, and go Bob Jones.